episode of
The Don and Mike Show.
And today we shall witness an earth-shaking discovery.
Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara.
Who are you guys with? NBC, CBS?
Radio God.
You gave up jobs with security, show business?
The Don and Mike Show.
We've got a show.
Come on, guys. We're on the air.
Have a good show.
Produced by 106.7 WJFK, Washington Superstation.
It's going to be a great show.
All right, well, good luck.
And distributed by Westwood One Entertainment.
We should thank our lucky stars. They're still putting on a program of this caliber after so many years.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. The contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless. Stay tuned for your chance at $500 for naming the secret sound. Only on the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln. The Don and Mike Show. Another Don and Mike Las Vegas style show. Don't miss out on the legendary fun and the top-notch adult entertainment. Here's our staff announcer to tell you more.
Hi, I'm Pete Johnson, the wacky engineer from the Don and Mike Show. You like breasts? How about some nice cooter? Would you get a flash looking at some gash? And join Don and Mike in their Las Vegas style show. And it's this Friday night at the Fable State Theater in Portland, Maine. You gotta be 21 to get in. Show starts at 8 o'clock. Like DNA, like DMV, come to the show. Condoms optional. For the Don and Mike Show, I'm Pete Johnson.
The Don and Mike Las Vegas style show.
Now go F yourself.
Don't miss it.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Last time on the Don and Mike Show. The Don and Mike Show.
I have a message for all you good, moral, Christian people who are complaining that breasts and vaginas are obscene. Hey, don't complain to me. Complain to the manufacturer. Okay? And although Jesus told us not to judge, I know you're going to judge anyway, so judge sanely. Judge with your eyes open. What do you consider obscene? Is this obscene to you?
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free, at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
All right, kiss my left ball, Timwit. Smell my hog, queer bait.
Hi, welcome to our show.
Go, Bob, on my knob, ass munch.
Okay, hi, Don and Mike.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hi.
Open wide and swallow my funk.
Hey, Don and Mike, what you don't know could fill a book.
Eat my snot, you hemorrhoid.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to say this about the widow Blake. That wherever she is right now, she's sitting in the company of this man.
That's right.
Son of God.
He left his gun in the restaurant.
Bill Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Bill is all excited about the promotional campaign that he started this week.
Really, what did he start?
Where in the world is Phil Hochberg? Now, do you want to guess where he is today?
Home?
No.
At the office?
No. He's in Waldorf, Maryland today. We'll be in a different day every
day.
Okay, good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs.
I was looking for a little more than that.
Good joke, Rob.
Right. Good joke.
Tickle the Duke. Useless.
But you see, it'll be funny tomorrow because Phil will be in another great city.
Go F yourself, you douchebag.
I know he doesn't mean it. That's why it's okay. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Scheit and all the ships at sea. Broadcasting with a lifetime supply of blood in their sack, it's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah. Thank you, Robbie. Thank you for that worthless joke. And hello, and thank you for listening, everybody, to Don and Mike Show, a new episode on Monday, May 7th. Right, Monday, May 7th.
Kiss my left ball, Timwit.
Right, welcome to the show. Welcome to Peter. Peter's like that cup of coffee in the morning.
Go fist yourself, pimple ass.
Thank you. I don't know where to begin. I got a whole weekend's worth of stuff to tell you about. We could definitely talk about how bad The Sopranos was last night.
Pretty awful.
But I think our lead story today has to be, and I want credit on this, I'm going to give him a name now, Robert Blake.
Uh-huh.
The white O.J.
Yes.
He is, in fact, the Caucasian O.J. Because here's the story.
Uh-huh.
You know, and incidentally, this is how the white man is keeping the black man down.
Mm-hmm.
That if this was O.J.,
uh-huh,
the headline would be screaming, O.J. shoots wife.
Right.
Listen to this about Robert Blake. What a bunch of crap. Robert Blake, TV's Beretta.
Yes.
All right, so he's in a Los Angeles eatery.
One of his, apparently one of his favorite haunts, because they've named a dish after him. He goes in there all the time.
Don't do it.
Don't do
the Beretta.
67-year-old Beretta.
Right. Keep your eyes.
Your eyes on the sparrow.
All right. The headline, and this is the headline to me is ridiculous as OJ still searching for killer.
Yes. Right?
Blake hires detective to find his wife's killer.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy, Robert Blake, he goes in a restaurant on Friday night, I think it is, with his wife, and they're leaving the restaurant, and he puts her in the car, and then he says, "Oh, damn, I left my gun in the restaurant."
That's weird right there. That's the first red flag in the story.
He was uncomfortable in his waistband.
He says, "I left my gun in the restaurant. Honey, you stay right here. I'll be right back."
Right.
He goes back in, allegedly, to find his gun. He comes out and, shocked, someone has shot her in the head.
Wow.
She slumped over the wheel?
Yes.
In the passenger
side. Or the passenger side.
Yeah, she's in the passenger side. Someone has, someone
mm-hmm
has killed Mrs. Robert Blake.
Yes. Now, apparently, no one witnessed this shooting.
Right.
He is the only one to discover the body.
Well, nobody saw O.J. cut his wife's head off either.
And he discovers the body after he's gone into the restaurant to get his gun. It's weird on
a
lot of levels.
Uh-huh. It's hinky.
It's so hinky. But I also, with that, they are saying that he is not being interviewed. He's been interviewed twice, but not as a suspect. What the hell does that mean?
He's not officially a suspect at this time.
Oh, okay.
They have talked to him for 5 hours. They say there are a lot of holes in his story.
When they interviewed him, I guess they didn't go, "What was it like playing Beretta? What was it like being in the original Our Gang?"
Or the question I asked, "Where's the cockatoo?"
Yeah.
Yeah. Where is that damn cockatoo?
It's incredible to me.
Mm-hmm.
The guy, well, first off, even if he didn't shoot his wife in the head,
right,
I don't buy this whole thing with, "Oh, honey, you get in the car. Oh, damn, I left my gun in the restaurant."
Well, the first thing I thought was not that he shot her. The first thing that I thought was that it's awful convenient that he has to go back into the restaurant. It would seem to me that, okay, when you see me, we'll come out there, we'll sit down, then I will run inside.
But wouldn't you have a better excuse, though? Wouldn't you have left a credit card behind or left your wallet behind rather
than... Not if I was licensed to carry a gun and I wanted a complete alibi for not having the gun with me.
That's true. And also,
if I went back into the restaurant to get my gun, that would immediately eliminate the chance the police would ask me what I was doing with the gun.
There's a difference between having a license to carry a gun.
Right.
And I know this because I was talking to G. Gordon Liddy today. There's a difference between having a license to carry a gun and having a gun permit. If you have a gun permit, it means you can have a gun in your house.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, unless you live in Arizona, you got to have some super duper fancy special permit to actually,
for Virginia,
strap a gun on, you know, in a shoulder holster.
Concealed weapon.
Right. So does Robert Blake have one of these super duper concealed weapons license thing?
I've not heard it mentioned yet. Either way, whether he does or does not, I'm sure that'll come out in the investigation.
I think he did simply because they apparently had the gun for protection because she was worried about somebody stalking
Supposedly
her.
There was a stalker from her past.
That's a good story too, though.
True. Well, who knows what the truth is? But I mean,
she's dead.
No.
You left out what I think is my favorite part.
What?
When he found the body, he threw up.
Yes. Right. Yeah, made him ill.
He vomited.
We'd had a big meal, Rob.
Real bad.
Big Italian meal.
It's an honor to throw up a dish that's named after you.
She had a checkered background.
Yes.
Yeah, she apparently was involved in, like,
she would,
mail fraud or...
A Lonely Hearts Club
scam. She would find old dudes and tell them that she loved them and scam them out of their money. And the only reason that Robert Blake even married her is because DNA tests proved
that he was the father of her child.
That he knocked her up. The kid has the name Brando because they originally thought that it was Marlon Brando's kid that knocked this girl up.
Pretty amazing. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Pretty weird stuff. And, you know, I remember Robert Blake from The Tonight Show, the old Tonight Show, where he would come on, and he was always a little out there. He was a little off-center.
Wasn't he always angry with Johnny?
He was always angry. He's always the kind of guy that looked like he wanted to get into a fight. I loved him on that show because he would say anything that would come into his mouth, into his mind, and it was fun to watch. But when the hell was the last time he was on television or in a movie or anything?
About 30 years.
Beretta, I guess. Yeah, how long was that, 25 years ago, maybe?
The 70s. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Now she's got a checkered backseat.
Oh, God. Oh, dear.
You know, checkered with, blood and, pieces of her brain and stuff.
Well, this ain't over yet.
No, sure. Not at all.
He was upset, shaken, and vomiting.
Yeah, the good thing is, though, that now it is in the capable hands of the Los Angeles Police Department.
Oh, God.
The LAPD.
So rest assured, we'll get right to the bottom of it quickly.
All I know is that's about the funniest thing. Yeah. I mean, it's a tragedy. Let me say, it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy of the largest proportion since William Shatner's wife drowned. and he got off.
It's very, very strange.
It's a tragedy, please, what a weak excuse.
So there are holes in it. They've actually come out and said there's some holes in the story?
They have come out to say that. And as a matter of fact, Blake's clothing that he was wearing that night at the restaurant is being examined at the lab. I'm sure they're looking for any gunpowder residue they might find on it or might not find on it. One other thing, not only was he vomiting after the incident, but shortly after that he checked himself into a hospital for high blood pressure.
Because he was so upset.
And by the way, his lawyer says many, many people could have killed Mrs. Blake.
Sure.
Lots of suspects.
She's gone!
She's gone.
So the lawyer who he's already gotten in touch with.
Stay cool.
And there he is, Donald Ephraim from Chicago.
He's already saying many, many,
many
people,
it could have been.
Yes, well, it's the lawyer.
He had a lot of enemies.
It's the lawyer who says that this lady had the checkered background.
Right.
That she had stolen money from all kinds of guys. So the lawyer is saying, you know, hey, it could have been anybody. And that's why this whole thing about someone stalking her doesn't jive up. Unless the police come out and say, listen, we did, in fact, hear from Robert Blake 2 weeks ago that someone was stalking his wife. I mean, they've not stepped up to say anything. And like you said, shocker, because it's the LAPD.
Well, I think, first of all, it'd be interesting to see, you know, what is that permit? Is it a concealed permit or is it a regular permit to keep it in your home?
Right.
There are, you know, the varying degrees of permits you can have. I mean, one you can keep it in your sock. The other one you can you have to leave it at home. So we'll see what happens with that.
Oh, honey, yeah, it was a great dinner. Oh, I love you so
much. I'm going to go back and get my gun.
Yeah, I left my gun in the restaurant. Excuse me, I'll be right back.
Whoops.
You just wait right here in the car and just look straight ahead the whole time. Yeah.
Boom. That's what first thing when I heard it, I don't think he pulled the trigger. I think, though, that it's just a little weird that she happened to be shot in the moment that he went back into the...
That one moment.
You know, we do think like police officers on this show. We always have, and that's the first thing I thought, that it was awfully... Convenient.
Mm-hmm.
Was anything stolen from her person? Like, did she still have all her jewelry and stuff? So is there a possible robbery motive?
Nothing was taken.
Someone just shot her in the head. She's dead. Filled her head with lead. Now she's dead.
Yep.
And poor Robert Blake, he's vomiting.
Yes.
We'll have to keep our eyes on Los Angeles for this one.
Right.
Yeah.
See what happens. Maybe this one will move a little faster than the OJ situation. No, it's Los Angeles.
No, they'll find a way to muck it up.
Yeah, they'll muck it up somehow.
Beretta thinks they can resolve it in 56 minutes plus commercial.
So. They bring Columbo in. He was also on the movie of the week. Can they bring him in?
What about McCloud? McCloud?
McCloud?
McCloud? Get me McCloud.
Come on, McCloud. What's the thing you used to say to him?
Come on, you'll never send him McCloud.
McCloud?
McCloud.
McCloud, this is not Albuquerque, this is New York. McCloud.
McCloud.
McCloud, get me McCloud.
Dennis Weaver riding his horse through New York City.
Come on, McCloud.
You know, Dennis Weaver lives in a house made of garbage now.
Yes,
right?
He does. Tires, stuff like that, grass, sod.
Yeah.
Right.
Freaks carry your luggage up to your room, Jack.
Mays talking.
Blake hires detective to find his wife's killer.
Right away.
He hired the investigator on Sunday to find the killer after his wife was shot to death Friday night near their favorite restaurant.
Weird.
Right.
Very weird.
Honey, you stay right there. Don't move a muscle. I love you. Dinner was great. Ah, damn. I left my gun in the restaurant. What a fool I am. I'm supposed to be protecting you because you've been stalked. Stay right here. Don't move. I'll be right back.
Have they done a ballistics test yet?
If they have, they haven't said anything about it yet. You know, they're taking this step by step. And they haven't even said about the gun permit. I assume that he has one because he spoke out about it, but the police aren't saying anything.
Hey, Robbie, why don't you get us the number of the LAPD? I think it's time that we just finally make contact with them and try to help them through one of these crises.
Something we probably should have done back with the O.J. situation.
Yeah.
And now at least we can be on the cutting edge and we can get the no comment right up front.
Because we knew that O.J. did it. But, again, no offense, Buzz. I know that you always screamed, you know.
Rush to judgment.
Rush to judgment.
Yeah. Buzz would have harbored O.J. in his house if he'd still been
in church.
Yes, Buzz was the back then, still now, is the Cato Kalin of this show.
Well, there's still a popular school of thought that would indicate that Buzz has that bag, that gym bag.
Oh, with OJ's clothes in it?
Yeah, Buzz has the weapon. Yeah, Buzz has the knife in the gym bag.
Yeah, but we can at least call the LAPD, and I mean, we can give them our theories. My theory is that Robert Blake did it. Your theory is that he hired someone to do it.
Right.
Buzz, what is your theory?
I think Blake did it, as a matter of fact. If he wasn't in church, that is.
Around Blake.
So you boys both think that he was the trigger man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or unless he was hitting golf balls in front of his house.
With a three-way. I mean, chipping with a three-way.
All of the OJ stories now, they're all coming back. But how come nobody's playing the OJ angle on this?
You are. They will. It'll happen.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I thought they would with Shatner's wife, but I guess it was different because that was a drowning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was an accident, Doc.
Yeah. Sure it was, Buzz. It was an accident that William Shatner's wife drowned.
I forgot. We got Judge Roy Bean over here.
Hey!
Swift Justice Roy Bean. That's why, ideally, you would have been perfect for law enforcement in the 1860s. In, like, Arizona in the 1860s. But I was in another state. Hang him.
Guilty. Hang him.
I've seen all I need to say. I've read one newspaper account on this story.
This is true. Well, the Shatner thing, you declared him guilty of murder.
Yes.
Of pushing her into the pool.
Yes, he did.
Joe.
Is this LAPD?
This is the California Highway Patrol.
That's a chip.
Robbie, you got me chips, not LAPD.
That's LAPD.
Hi, listen, this is the Don and Mike Show. We're on the radio right now.
How are you, Chips?
We're trying to get a hold of someone, and we think we've solved this Robert Blake thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, not really. You see, we have theories about it. You say that to the police, they're going to send they're going to fly people across the country.
I'm a disc jockey, but it seems to me rather apparent that if Robert Blake just says to his wife, "Hey, I left my gun inside," and then comes back out and she's shot in the head,
I think it's a little hinky, don't you?
What the hell did he do? Lay his gun up on the table at the restaurant?
See? Yeah.
Good question.
See?
Good question.
See? That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Right.
That's boy.
Exactly what I'm thinking.
So whose jurisdiction is that? Is that LAPD, Studio City?
Yeah.
All right.
Let me see if I got the number for you.
Okay, very good.
That'd be great. Thank you.
I'm not trying to be funny, but shades of black and white, OJ.
Yeah, honey.
See?
Hey, listen.
You're right.
I want to tell you something.
That's a smart lady we got on the phone here.
I'm the white devil, okay? But I want to tell you something. I said, this is how the white man is keeping the black man down.
That's right.
That if this was OJ, the headline today would be OJ kills wife. It wouldn't be OJ hires detective to find his wife's killer.
Absolutely.
Listen,
we still got a long way to go in America, you know.
We do, honey.
And it is interesting.
Right.
Yes, it is.
And you know, there's a double standard for everything.
But,
you know, if you live in this world long enough, you can get around all of that.
And you know what?
You got good people, bad people, in every walk of life there is.
As Mike said, correct, it's just a theory that I have. I'm just a disc jockey in my theory, but as long as we're checking into stuff, maybe you could open the William Shatner file. about his wife who drowned in the pool.
They should have left him on the Enterprise, but...
hey, this lady...
You have to stop and think OJ's son was a butcher.
Hey, you know, you got to...
Oh,
you basically have to get out of the California Highway Patrol. Get your own radio show. That's what you have to do.
They should make you chief of police.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
How are Ponch and who's the other guy doing? Who is it?
Ponch and
Ponch and John, they're the chips that I know. How are they doing? Are they still working there?
Well, I haven't seen John since Hicker was a pup, but the other guy, he's cool.
How
you see him at CHP Day.
Oh, really? He comes out? Eric Estrada comes out to those things?
Yes, he does.
How embarrassed were you by the Chips reunion?
We're not embarrassed at all.
When they tried to fit into those uniforms? Big fat Eric Estrada.
He's not fat.
Big fat partner.
No, he's not fat. Surprisingly, he's like the guy that came back from Azuzu, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Joe is right.
They got them all worked out so we can do the ads. So
you, okay, let me see here. Okay, I'm going to give you this number.
All right, well, put it on.
I'm going to put you on hold for a second. Thank you for your time.
Okay.
You're wonderful. Yeah. Hold on, please.
Right.
Hold on. How about the next person we talk to at LAPD is not as nice?
No way. I guarantee you. I'm amazed that we got a California Highway Patrol person that was that cool.
Yeah.
That's terrific.
Hey, what did I say? You said OJ?
First thing she said.
OJ. Yeah. She thinks like I did. Sir Robert Blake. Yeah, you got to watch him.
It's all about semantics, though, Don. You might want to just chill on that. I have information.
All right.
Because they get excited
right,
about
it's my
that,
theory.
You know? That's right. That's
I've
right.
got a theory. I'm a
we have some thoughts.
Perhaps. A disc jockey. Right. I've read about this in the newspaper.
We've cracked the case.
Yeah,
send the car. Send a black and white out here right away.
All right. I'll consider my verbiage more carefully this time.
That's amazing. A good lead to the solving of the homicide.
Traffic division, yes, they help you.
Traffic division?
Oh, no, we need a, like, regular...
Hello, is this LAPD?
Yes, it is.
Hi, this is the Don and Mike show. We're doing a national radio show right now.
Mm-hmm.
And can we speak to someone about the Robert Blake situation?
Is it regarding the traffic?
No. Well, no. She was shot in the car.
Well... Hang on just a second.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just a minute, please.
All right. We got two nice ones in a row.
That's great.
It's incredible.
Two nice ones in a row.
On a Monday, no less.
Monday.
No Furmans. We got two nice ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah, technically this is a traffic crime, right?
Well, yes, in the car.
It's
perfect logic right there.
The car was parked, so it's not a moving violation.
Yeah, it might also be littering.
Oh, my God. Okay.
We'll see what happens.
But, you know, we should have, in retrospect, 5 years ago, we should have done this immediately with the OJ story. Yeah.
While the case was fresh.
Mm-hmm. While we should have offered our first thoughts, and this is what's great because, you know, I've got my theory, you have your
mm-hmm.
theory, which is a little different than mine. But yeah. We both agree there's something hinky about Robert Blake.
There is
right?
something hinky. All the facts have not been revealed yet.
Right.
And Rob, I didn't even ask
that. Okay, you need to talk to North Hollywood detectives. They're handling it.
Okay. Greg, can you hold it? Can you give that number to my secretary?
Sure.
Hold on. Thank you for your time. Thank you. You're very nice.
Thank you.
Hey, baby.
Happy day in California.
Yeah, that's terrific. Two in a row.
How much you want to bet the streak runs out when we call the detectives?
The streak will run. When the streak will run out, you need to talk to our public affairs office.
Yeah.
That's when the fun will be over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There you go.
There we go.
What we're doing right now is we're crime beat reporting.
Yeah. Is what we're doing. We just happen to be doing it live. Mm-hmm. We're doing John Walsh's job right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Hello, detective.
Yes, hi. This is the Don and Mike radio show. We're a national radio show. We're on the air right now.
Uh-huh.
We're wondering if we could talk to someone about the Robert Blake situation.
Okay, hold on just a minute.
Thank you.
Wow, so far.
Amazing.
All right, now maybe you're right. Maybe at some
You're right, we're going to hit the wall eventually.
At some point, we're going to get like a public relations person.
Yeah, I can't tell you anything about that.
We have no comment on that.
You got to hit your bell when we get the person that you think is going to be the least cooperative.
I would have lost already. We've talked to three people who have been pretty nice. Hey, what are the odds we get voicemail right now?
Yeah, probably.
Thank you for calling the LAPD. To report a murder, press 1.
Or it could just keep ringing. You know, it's a big precinct office.
If you've been robbed, press 2.
Very busy.
Until that time, bend over and grab your ankles. There's the voicemail.
Carjacking, press 3. If you're a celebrity who's killed his wife, please stay on the line.
If you're a celebrity that's had an auto accident with another celebrity.
I'm gonna find the detective.
Yeah, hi, this is the Don and Mike radio show.
They didn't pick up?
No, they didn't.
Okay, there's somebody there. They might be on the other line. Let me try it again. Hold on.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Very nice.
Unbelievable.
Maybe they had like a PR lecture or something.
Way too nice.
Yeah, very odd. Well, you know what? We haven't talked to a dude yet.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, what do you want?
That's where the streak will end.
McLeod! McLeod! Talk to a guy like that. McLeod! This is a serious investigation.
Talk to Inspector Biddle.
I'd like to talk to Inspector Gadget, please.
We would like to talk. Of course, it's in New York. Is Sipowitz there?
Well, they tape it in L.A.,
yeah. Can we talk to Rich Schroeder, please?
Come on now.
Oh, I'd like to talk to Chief Bo Buchanan, please.
Monkey's in Landview.
Ah, you're
not in Los Angeles.
Margie, can I help you?
Hi, Margie.
Uh-huh.
Hi, this is the, have we talked to you before? This is the Don and Mike radio show. We're on the air right now.
No, you haven't.
Hi, we're doing a national radio show. First we talked to Chips.
Yeah, California Highway Patrol. They were very nice.
And then we talked to LAPD, and they sent us to you. We had a couple of questions about Robert Blake.
We're not handling it here.
Oh, really?
You're not?
No, it's being handled by Robbery Homicide Division downtown.
Robbery Homicide.
Can we get a number for them?
Sure, you want to hold on a second?
Can I give you a theory?
Me?
Yeah.
No, you're probably wasting your time with me.
Well, you know, maybe I just think that, you know, 5 years ago, if I would have called with my original theory about O.J., could have saved a lot of time. I think Robert Blake did it. That's
you
the
do?
Theory. Yes, that's the theory.
Oh, okay.
I mean, how ridiculous is it that, you know, he puts his wife in the car and he says, "Now, honey, you stay right there. I'll be right back." And then he goes back in to get his gun that he forgot. And he comes back out and she's shot.
In fact, all three of us have the similar theory.
Yes.
You think he did it. I think he had somebody do it. We all think it's a little hinky. That's our theory.
Yeah, that's what everybody says.
Is there a crime? Is there a crime solver reward on this?
You know what? I don't know. And this is my first day back from vacation, so you're kind. All I've been doing is watching the news, like you.
Oh, do you have a good vacation?
Yeah, it was okay.
Where'd you go?
Stayed home.
Oh, you stayed home.
Stayed home, planted trees.
Well, it's on California. Best kind of vacation. I guess.
Did you work the William Shatner investigation?
No, that was here. Also, though, I can give you the person that did.
Oh, if they would like to talk to us, I have a theory about that, too.
Oh, hang on just a second.
Thank you. Amazing. Amazing cooperation from the LAPD.
This is truly, truly America.
What are the odds?
They're probably all out-of-work actors.
Yeah.
I mean, like the waiters and waitresses out there?
Exactly.
Same thing.
All right, so now we're going to shift away from Robert Blake. We're going to talk to somebody who works on the William Shatner case.
Yeah. Find out if that's all been put to rest.
Yes. Well, I think he's remarried.
No, I think he's no longer. I don't think he ever was a suspect.
Oh.
Except in your eyes.
Yes. Mike, not a suspect, a guilty man.
Well, yeah, I understand. Mr. Bean.
You know what? They're on another line right now.
All right. Well, listen, thank you for your time.
Okay.
For the record, our theories are either that Robert Blake did it or he was involved in it.
Yeah, the word to use, you know, if anybody asks you about it or they call from downtown would be hinky. That comes from the Don and Mike show. The whole thing is a little hinky.
Yeah. Okay, I got it.
All right. Yeah. Thank you for your time.
All righty.
One more thing can I tell you, please?
Pardon me?
Female cops are a real turn-on.
Really?
I mean that. That's a compliment.
All righty, then.
All right, you have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, you went a little further with that one. She would have had a gun barrel in your mouth. I could tell by the tone. You see, you know, you can always tell. You know, the tone either softens or hardens, mm-hmm. and it hardened just that much when you said, "Yeah, okay, big guy, why don't you come out for a ride along?"
Click. All right. Well, for the record, uh-huh. May 7th, we tried,
and we are. I think really all three of us now. Eligible for the reward.
Yes. And no,
Rob, we'll throw you, all four of us.
Well, Mike, hold on. No. Unless it comes out that Robert Blake absolutely did it by himself.
You want to play it that way? I was thinking that we'd share the reward, but if you want to play
it that
way.
No, I don't want to be like Colby and Tina.
The way it's going to be right now is if he shot her, then you get the reward.
Buzz and I, if
he had somebody kill her,
then you get the money.
Fantastic.
Rob, which side are you on?
I think he did it with Spanky and Alfalfa.
Oh, come on. Seriously.
No, he's in on it, but he didn't pull the trigger.
Rob, I'll share the reward with you.
All right, well, good.
Very good.
You and two.
Either way, two people on this show are going to be rich beyond their wildest dreams.
I'm going to pay off my house, and I'll pay off my friend's house, just like Tina.
Wow.
All we have to do is wait.
You know, and incidentally, the only thing I was telling Dom that I watched Survivor over the weekend, I watched the tape of it, the only thing I think people should absolutely follow up on, she said she was going to pay off her house and pay off her best friend's house.
Oh, but
I want to make sure that's done.
You know how much the mortgage is on her best friend's house?
How much?
trailer trash.
Oh, really?
$80,000
Okay.
So $80,000 out of whatever she gets out of the millions.
Still want to make sure she does it.
Okay.
I want to make sure she does that while she's driving around in her Aztec.
Tina, because she's so nice. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm so nice. This is feeling at peace and quiet with me and Colby.
Colby.
Now that Keith's gone. I bobbed on Colby's knob.
Colby, I saw.
Eat my bung.
Oh, oh.
Go, Bob, on my knob. Ass munch.
I was watching the CBS morning show today, which means that their viewership was officially one person. And Bryant Gumbel, you know, I love him because he's such a condescending son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking to Colby.
Right.
And he was asking Colby all the same stuff that I was asking you on Friday and you were asking him. You seemed like, why? Hey, you know, in essence, he's saying, you dummy, why did you give her the money? And Colby's answer was, because I don't want the American people to remember me as Richard Hatch 1 year from now. And Bryant Gumbel looks at him and says, but 1 year later, people do remember who Richard Hatch was. Thank you for your time.
Oh, man.
Colby, good luck to you, loser. Leave the studio, please.
God.
Here we are with Colby, a country boy, trying to do well. He blew it. Through thick and thin, he was the victor, and he gave it all away to a dumb hillbilly bitch. Thank you very much. Good luck to you.
But it was beautiful the way that he blew him off, because he stopped and he stroked his chin like he was thinking of it. He measured his words very carefully. Because people, a year later, do remember who Richard Hatch is. Thank you, Colby. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Colby. You'll be unremembered.
That's cold.
Your 15 minutes is officially over. Goodbye.
That is cold.
That is cold.
All right, I think we've already done good today.
Yeah.
Look at this. We've already solved a major crime today on the show.
You know, when you can come into work and do that in the first half hour that you're on the air, that's a good thing.
You do some good, Mike.
Very good.
Make everything else today just gravy.
I feel fuzzy.
Let's break now, because I know we do want to yell about The Sopranos, and then I know we both have weekend stuff to get to. It's a jam-packed show today. Let's start with a call 100, secret sound number 4, which is worth $500. Phone number 877-365-3636. Be the 100th person to call Strapless Lisa today.
All right.
You'll get a shot of the money. Good luck. We'll be right back.
Number 1, Arbitron Lincoln, the Don and Mike Show.
And now we have a pretty one for lonely lovers on a cool, cool night. The great Errol Garner classic, Misty.
I will always think of you.
Yes.
Play Misty for me.
Yeah, right.
Do you get tired of that? I mean, that obviously,
no,
especially
listen,
DJs.
I love that people remembered it.
You know,
DJs do remember it.
You are so good. You are so realistic as that psycho listener.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and especially when you came to the restaurant and you ruined his lunch with the station manager.
Right.
Oh, God, have I been there.
You know, if this show goes the way I think it's going to, there's no reason in the world why...
Well, it's cozy.
So this is your business lunch? How's business?
Friend of yours?
Just another trick, honey.
That's enough.
Is that your idea of a dish? My God, she's a little old for you, isn't she? What is this, Be Kind to Senior Citizens Week?
Get out of here.
Not that I mind you being a bastard, but you have to be such a tasteless bastard! Stop it, you son of a bitch! She could get laid in a lumber camp! Stop it, you son of a bitch! You're hurting me! Stop it, you dirty bastard! Oh, no! Stop it! Nothing! 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 I love you.
Get her out of here, man.
Please.
Where to?
I love you. Don't you understand? I love you.
Where to, mister?
Move. You won't. Because I love you. Please.
Edit.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Jesus effing Christ. The Don and Mike Show.
I've been a long time since we pulled that play Misty for tape out.
Boy, I tell you, it's just as fresh as it was an hour ago.
Play Misty for me. That's the movie with Clint Eastwood. And who was that old broad when we had her on the show that
Jessica
one time?
Jessica Walter.
All right. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello? Yes. Am I calling 100?
Right.
All right.
Yeah, what's your name, my friend?
Ken.
Where are you from, Ken?
Sacramento.
Ken, you've won the Vermont Teddy Bear. Send a Bear Gram for Mother's Day. Call 1-800-829-BEAR or shop online at VermontTeddyBear.com. Are you ready to play for $500 now?
Yes, I am.
All right. Number four, a common everyday sound. Rob, how about a hint?
No.
No, all right, no hints now. No.
Oh, come on.
We'll play this sound. I'll give you a hint next time.
Okay.
Play the sound now. I'll give you 15 seconds to think about it. Please don't answer until Mike sings like...
Donna Fargo.
Oh, because you're happy?
Yeah, I'm very happy.
Please, you...
Godspeed. Caller, name this sound.
When you say Donna Fargo, I'm
sure you know the song.
Sure I do. Probably the only guy that does. We do give away the money as courtesy of Main Street Title.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Donna Fargo, where'd you pull that from?
My ass.
For $500, that is a common everyday sound. What is it?
Well, I guess that's a closing of a book.
Closing of a book.
Closing of a metal book.
Closing of
a money metal book.
Go fist yourself, pimple ass.
Right, no, I'm sorry, that is not correct.
Closing a book?
It's not correct.
Kiss my left ball, dimwit.
Thank you, though.
He's not happy about that. No.
And don't forget that almost every guest is a clue for you.
Your mom takes it up the bung.
Right.
Oh,
thank you, Peter. From our worthless junk we get sent in the mail department,
Okay?
We have two items today, both of them equally worthless.
Yes.
This one I really don't understand. Company in Kansas, they send us something called the canoe theory. What they've done is they've taken time and they've made an actual spinning wheel that has a canoe in the middle of it.
Right.
Okay, you see it.
Oh, yeah.
Spin it like this.
Uh-huh.
And it says, the canoe theory.
Company made that? That's not like a homemade thing?
No, this is a company. They're selling these things.
Oh, my God.
Of
course they are.
It occurred to me the canoe went forward, a reflection of the water, one of my favorite parts of the female anatomy, brought the canoe to mind. My friend agreed. Applying my rudder to her canoe gave her direction and consistency. It's a woman's prerogative to change her mind. So you have the canoe theory.
Uh-huh.
And for whatever reason, I guess if you're supposed to ask a question like, what's your wife going to do?
Yeah.
You spin this canoe and it will give you an answer. It has a whole bunch of different things written by each little peg on the board.
Okay.
So, for instance, Buzz, ask me a question about your wife, Marcia.
Oh, okay. Is she going to be in a good mood when I get home this evening?
And the answer is?
Not tonight.
Not tonight.
Uh-huh.
I'm afraid of that. Okay, your turn, Mike.
Would Laura be upset if I played 36 holes this coming weekend?
You're never home. That answers that.
So I guess that means no.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think I need to test it again. I have to ask
again. Okay, ask again.
So I will be out of town for most of the weekend. And when I come home, can I jam 36 holes into the brief period of time that I'm home?
Your choice.
Oh.
Okay.
You're done and done.
Congratulations.
I think I'll play 18.
Will I get a BJ tonight? Logic and reason.
What the hell?
I don't like the answer. Yeah, come on. Will I get a BJ tonight? Your choice. Well, if it's my choice, it's not going to happen.
You got to ask it again.
Will I get a BJ tonight? PMS.
PMS. That's a no.
That's an answer.
Yeah.
Okay. How about this one? Did Robert Blake kill his wife?
Good. Swim the canoe.
I want it fast now.
That's
not an answer.
I'm not even sure what type of questions to ask. Yeah. Rob has figured it out.
Maybe we're not.
Rob paid attention in school and he's figured it out.
What are we doing?
What?
What are we doing, Rob?
I think that's to determine you proposition your wife what she'll say.
It says, spin the canoe to reflect the way you think her day might start. Spinning can occur all day,
as the right to change her mind is ever present.
That makes no sense.
No,
it is so convoluted.
Yeah. Worthless product that we were sent today. Worthless.
Terribly worthless.
Absolutely.
Almost deserves to be destroyed.
It sure does.
Yes, it does.
Watch out,
oh,
the glass.
That's okay.
That's bulletproof glass you're behind. It can certainly stand a beating.
Rob's going to really try to damage it.
You going to break it, Rob?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You see what you did the other side.
What'd you do?
Yeah!
I don't
want to step on the nail.
Thanks to the good people from CW Cells.
There you go.
For sending that
product to us.
A solid piece of wood.
It's made well by Americans.
They have a website, but I'm not going to give it out.
Rob's still trying to break it?
He is.
I don't
He's
like
trying.
It.
He doesn't like it. He doesn't like it.
Oh, almost.
He's going to hurt himself.
No, he's not.
Right,
he's going to break it.
He's bringing those size 13s down.
There you go.
Is he not broken
he's
it
He's trying to break the actual round part.
Almost.
Oh, almost. Yeah, you can give it one more shot.
It says something towards the construction of this product,
though, that Rob has been stepping on it, slamming his...
Yeah!
Yeah!
There you go, Rob.
Thank you.
Good job, Robbie.
Woo!
Now, the other worthless product we received today...
Now, this is even more idiotic.
Well, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure I agree with you about these.
From a company called People Cards.
I want these when you're done with them.
And basically, if you know someone... And apparently to me, looking at these cards, they're all losers. If you know someone who is a loser, they can take a picture of themselves and have it put on, in essence, what is a baseball card.
Okay.
And then when they go out and they see someone they like, they give them the people card.
Oh, okay. All right, so... Is this really like a product that you can have made up for yourself and you can hand out your card to people?
People Cards, a new line of trading cards, celebrate the oddities, quirks, and interests of everyday people from around the world.
But, I mean, they're selling them too, aren't they?
Yes. Now, you can buy your own.
Right.
You can have them make 100 and you can pass them out.
Sure.
Or you can simply have yours included in random packages that will be sold like at 7-Elevens and Quickie Marts and stuff.
I think that's a good idea.
So, we're looking at some of the pictures of some of these absolute... Well, for instance, look at this.
There she is. Isn't she lovely?
Okay, now... If I'm this woman, if I'm the pick in this picture, I don't want anybody to know my name. But I'm going to tell you her name because it's on the card. Yeah. Her name is Allison Jessup, and she's from El Cajon, California.
El Cajon.
Her motto is, life goes on.
Okay.
Her motto should be, sew my mouth shut and put me on a liquid diet.
You know, and it's that coy little picture that, I'm not sure what photographer decided that would be the pose where she's resting her head on her hands right on the back of the chair.
Well, some of them look like, they're just regular snapshots.
And I saw one woman that looked fairly attractive in there.
That one?
Yeah. Does she look okay up close?
Well, you know, compared to the other women, yeah, she's the hot.
Are they all women?
No, there's a guy. There's more than, as a matter of fact, here's a guy wearing a Davy Crockett hat.
Wonder. Now that looks like, what does he do? What's he all about?
His name is David Mazurak, and he is from Iowa City, Iowa.
Huh.
Hey, Rob, we broadcast there. Why don't you see if you can find this dude's phone number, and I want to ask him why the hell he signed up for People Cards. But anyway.
It's one thing if you're having them made up to hand out to people, like if you go out to a bar or something like that and you want to hand somebody a novelty thing with your picture on it, but it's another thing to include this in playing cards.
Well, you know, some of these girls, they're married.
Weird.
So I don't think she'd be handing them out in singles bars because I'm looking at the one broad here, age 40, occupation, homemaker.
Interesting.
These are like baseball trading cards, I guess, only they're just with ordinary, nondescript people.
People cards. So I'm looking at the one with this girl who has to tip the scales, really, at like 400 pounds.
Right.
And it says...
that's her head.
Her favorite website is bonjovi.com.
All right, she likes Bon Jovi.
Or nashbridges.com.
Oh, there we go.
Her favorite food is Chinese food.
that should be a little lesson to people that like Chinese food.
Yes. Favorite beverage, Diet Pepsi. Honey, listen, I'm looking at your picture. Go ahead, have regular Pepsi.
Well, she puts a few spoonfuls of sugar in there.
Most pronounced habit, nail biting and cussing.
Well, sometimes you just can't get a meal and you bite your nails and you're yelling about it.
Her favorite color is purple. The weirdest thing she does is sleep with 11 pillows and 3 cats. And her
what that room smells like in the morning.
And her favorite book is anything written by John Grisham.
Huh.
Very so, nice. Like I said, loser. Now, we do have a phone number for the guy in Iowa City, Iowa.
Good.
His name is David Markovich. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. He is 21.
21.
Favorite place is Mexico. Favorite website, CNN.com. Favorite food, lasagna. Favorite drink is water. His hobby is being a cog in the system. Favorite color, blue. Favorite animal is an elephant. Most used expression, sweet.
Can't wait to get him on the
Let's
line.
Let's call him up.
See what he's all about.
Hold on.
I'll tell you, that Daniel Boone hat looks good on him, though. It's like he's ready to go out and become a real frontier man.
Now, is this Daniel Boone or Davy Crockett? I guess Davy Crockett had the tail on it, right?
I think both of them. Both of them
were. Yeah,
hello, is this David?
This is David.
David, hi. Listen, this is the Don and Mike radio show.
All right.
We're on the air right now. I hope that's okay with you. We're on in Iowa City.
Okay.
On a radio station called KCJJ. We do a national show.
Okay.
And we just got sent a promotional package from a company called People Cards.
You familiar with those?
Yes.
And I'm reading your People Card right now.
Uh-huh.
And since we're on in Iowa City, we figured we'd give you a call and ask you about what it's like to be on People Cards.
Kind of, I don't know, it's cool. My friends appreciate it.
Is it sweet?
I would describe it as sweet.
That's your expression, though, right?
Yes, that is my expression.
What kind of hat are you wearing in this photo, Dave?
What kind of hat?
Yeah, we can't decide if it's a Davy Crockett hat or a
Daniel Boone
hat.
Yeah, I was thinking Eastern European.
Oh, it's one of those, like, sable hats they wear in Russia?
Yeah. It's actually not my hat.
Whose hat is it?
Someone on my dorm floor.
Well, let me ask you, why did you sign up for People Cards?
It was free. They send you a free card. You know, it's a cool novelty.
Uh-huh.
And now people all over the country are going to be collecting your cards?
Hopefully.
Have you heard from anybody besides us who collects your card?
No, I haven't. Actually, I haven't seen it in stores either.
So now you will be telling all of your friends that a national radio show called you up because of your People Card.
I'm going to tell everyone right now.
Thought you would.
Yeah. Are you going to use these cards to get laid? I mean, would you go into a bar and if you saw a girl you liked?
I already have.
You already have?
Bravo. Honest answer.
All right, so you in fact have gotten laid from People Cards?
No, unfortunately, no.
Oh, but you've tried.
You've tried to use them that way.
I haven't thought of that, actually. I don't think it would work too well.
Now, how many of these cards do you have yourself?
They gave me around 10, I think.
You only have 10?
Yeah, I gave some away to friends. Uh-huh. But I can get more, I'm sure.
So you only have 10 of you. Do you have any of the other people?
Yeah, they actually sent me some free cards of other people.
Have you contacted anybody else on the cards?
I can't say that I have.
Right. Well, I want to tell you something. I'm going through the packet they sent me, and while I don't think you're ever going to be stopped on the street and mistaken for George Clooney, I will tell you that you're the handsomest guy I've seen.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
In the packet of cards that I've seen.
Because there's some real beasts in these packets of cards there, David.
There are some hideous people in there.
There are indeed.
Have you seen the girl from El Cajon, California?
Oh, I saw some pretty ladies, though.
Oh, no, the one I'm thinking of looks like she weighs about 400 pounds.
Oh, really?
Yeah. All right, so officially we have made contact with the guy who's on a People Card.
And officially this would be the best thing that's happened to you since you got on these People Cards.
If you could call us a good thing.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, thank you. Thanks,
Hello.
Dave.
All right, bye.
All right, see you later, dude.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, Mike, we've also found a local girl here.
Ah, very good.
From the D.C. area.
She's not bad looking.
And actually, yeah, I mean, she's a little willowy.
Can I see her?
But, yeah, hold on. Let me give it to Rob so he can get her phone number.
As I lunge at the card. She's, not bad looking.
Willowy's not bad.
I'd like to get another perspective. I mean, that was a college kid that did it just completely on a lark.
There's a guy from Australia. A guy who looks like Regis Philbin.
Hello, Mike.
G'day. It's right, it's Gary.
He's my card.
Oh, my God. Look at this. Look at this one.
Hello, beautiful.
Jesus, he's from New Jersey.
Yeah, I read her card, though. You got to be careful. Law enforcement officer.
Oh, you're right. Okay, we'll screw with her.
Right.
How about this one? How about the big fat chick holding the skull?
Hey, yeah, baby.
Wow. What's her name? Evangeline.
Sure.
She's from St. Louis.
That's a bad picture, too, because they cut the top of her head off. You couldn't see her top hat.
Her favorite movie is Stigmata.
Ah, hey, didn't you like that movie, too? Oh, no, it was the other one that
Dogma.
You liked.
Dogma.
Yeah.
When it said foods, she just put good.
Good food.
She likes good
food. That means
food.
She likes good food and plenty of it.
She likes iced tea, photography. Uh-huh. Favorite color, shocker, black.
Yeah.
Yeah. Animals, mounted.
Ooh, that's a little weird.
Favorite place, New Orleans. Most used expression, I thought you had a puppy.
Oh, my God.
She's weird.
Oh, my God.
She's a weird...
Wait a minute. Now, why are you saying, oh, my God? Because that does mean something hanky weird, doesn't it?
Her favorite color is black. Her name is Evangeline. Her favorite animals are mounted. And where's your puppy? You know, I mean, it makes me wonder.
Like she takes puppies.
That's what it makes
me
wonder.
She kills puppies.
Yeah. Is that her number?
Yeah, that is a number, but it might not be right.
All right. This is a girl from the D.C. area. Uh-huh. Her name is Catherine. Okay? Mike, there, hold it up so you can see her face. She's 29.
Mm-hmm.
29.
That listing actually has her in Baltimore, but it's the only one listed in the D.C. area.
That's close enough because it says Columbia, Maryland.
So. Mm-hmm.
Her favorite website is www.etour.com.
Etour. That's where you actually let the site do the surfing for you, and you put your interest down, and they give you different websites to surf. It's a good site.
Favorite food is sushi. Favorite drink is beer.
Yay.
Most pronounced habit, smoking.
Hey.
Color, burgundy. Hobby, playing the piano.
Right.
Most used expression, can't print that here. Favorite place, San Francisco.
I like her.
All right, let's call her up.
Interesting.
Is she married?
Doesn't say so.
Okay.
People cards.
Interesting.
I like just calling these people and meeting them. It's cool.
A doofus would sign up for this, though.
I mean,
we've already talked to one doofus who signed up for it.
He didn't care.
Yeah.
He didn't care. Well, let's find out whether, you know, she might be the same way. There's Evangeline.
Hello.
Yes, hello, is this Catherine?
Yes.
Hi, is this the Catherine on People Cards?
Huh?
Hi, listen, ma'am, this is the Don and Mike radio show. We're on the radio right now. How are you doing today?
I'm okay.
This is not the Catherine who's on People Cards, right?
Uh-huh.
We got a card of a young lady, 29 years old. You're not 29, are you?
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
No. We are doing a survey. Do you think Robert Blake killed his wife?
I don't know anything about that.
Mm.
You don't?
Okay. No.
And you've never been on it? Okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Good, all right. She's okay, Mike.
Well, I got something to do now. I'm busy.
Okay.
Right. Okay, then.
Thank you for your time.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Bye-bye. That's what she had to do. First broke out. Don't fall down. Hey, God bless you real good.
Resident.
All right, let's see. See if I can find one more. California. Paradise, California. Oh, how about we call the house frau? She's probably at home.
Very good.
Her name is Teresa. She's from West Monroe, Louisiana. And her motto is, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
The golden rule.
Really, that's not an original motto, okay?
No, it isn't. But
that's a borrowed motto.
You can borrow them, I think.
These cards are just the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Look at her most used expression.
What's her most used expression? Hold on. Most used expression, do not make fun of other people.
Oh no.
Here we go. We picked the right woman to call for people cards.
This is our person right here.
Where do you buy them? Who would buy them?
And who thinks this will
Can you go into like a convenience store and see a packet of people cards?
I think that's the theory.
I mean, I'd buy them. I'd buy them. They'd be a blast.
The guy we talked to in Iowa City said he hadn't seen them in stores.
Would you really pay a dollar for a package of people cards?
Because, I mean, I'm not a card person, but to see just average people, just for snicks.
Yeah, just natural curiosity.
Look at and make fun of.
Yeah, throw them away.
Right. All right, well, you know what?
Go through them and thumb through them and throw them away.
If we can't get a hold of this house frau, we'll call the guy at the company, okay?
Yeah, have him send a bunch.
He can spend all day just calling these
calling people. Yeah, we called your people card. Now we're calling the lady that says don't make fun of people?
Yes, Teresa Otwell.
Right.
Otwell. From married? Louisiana. Well, it says homemaker.
All right.
Favorite movie is Orson Welles movies.
Okay.
Favorite websites? Yahoo.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite food? Salsa. Color yellow. Books? Any. Dog is her favorite animal. Favorite place? California.
Sounds like she's not home.
She's not there. Well, what kind of a housefrau is she?
Exactly. Out probably getting the groceries.
Everybody's the mailbox
of
Teresa.
All right, she's not there.
We got a guy who thinks he went out with the first girl we were talking about. Hello.
Hello.
You think you went out with the fat girl?
Look, 20 years ago, I dated a girl named Allison Jessup for about a year.
How did she spell her last name?
J-E-S-S-U-P.
Nope, different spelling.
Ah, crap.
Ooh. All right.
I was hoping. Sorry.
Well, hey, listen, you're not missing out on anything. If
right. Is this the one that got heavy? Is this the one that's big?
Yeah, she's gigantic.
Oh, man, that's weird.
All right, thanks.
You're a big
fat
girl.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
But do you want to call the company?
Yeah.
All right.
Sure. Give my home address. Send me boxes. Boxes and boxes. So much fun.
People cards. What a dumb idea.
We should have people cards made of us.
We should have our people cards.
Oh, no. You get She Stands Alone.
We can have it made up and go on a cruise.
We can hand our people cards out on the cruise with our home phone numbers.
Here you are.
I hope you enjoyed the cruise. Listen, we had a great time. Here's my people card.
My favorite expression is don't make fun of other people.
You've reached people.
No, nobody's ever home.
Leave your name and number and we'll call you back.
Go F yourself, douchebag.
Peter.
Smell my hog, queer bait.
Peter.
Go, Bob, on my knob, ass munch.
Peter, stop it.
Oh, there's no way to hear him. Well, now, what kind of a company is that? I mean, they send us a press release, they send us the product, we call the goddamn company, and they're not even there.
You think it's easy going out there and photographing those people all day?
I guess not. That's the dumbest thing.
All their resources are used.
Yeah. Let me see. Calgary. God, there's another one from Louisiana.
How about Evangeline? That's who I'd like to talk to.
Oh, Evangeline?
He scares me.
Right there?
Yeah, I mean, the puppy lady.
Like, there's no last name.
Oh,
so we couldn't get a hold of her. Just Evangeline.
There you go.
Hello, Don.
I'm back in.
Hello, turn your radio down.
Yeah.
Turn your radio down. Or just hang up. Hello, Don. My show.
I am cheese.
All right, listen. I'm not even listening. I'm going through these cards right now.
I hate it here. Where's my medication? Medication's not working. I hate it here.
I'm sorry.
Anybody watch that last night after The Sopranos? No. You guys got to watch the documentaries they put on.
You're the only guy who watches whatever's on after The Sopranos.
Because they're fantastic. Last night was
about
mental institutions.
Right?
Yes.
Bellevue, right?
And the one guy, I hate it here. The medication's not working. And he'd go down and you'd see the guy eating quietly. And he's eating perfectly quietly. And they institutionalized him because he was screaming at different places around New York City. And he finishes eating his dinner. And you see him finish. He wipes his mouth. He stands up. And then he walks down to the nurse's station. And he just stands out there. And then he goes, I hate it here. The medication's not working. This is not a good place to be. I hate it here. And they're leading him in. They take him by the elbow as he starts doing this, and they put him in what's called isolation, and you just see him. And they said he goes on for 40 minutes at a time saying those three things. I hate it here. The medication is not working, or some other
thing
that he had.
Maybe one of these weeks, there's only 2 weeks left, if The Sopranos ever has an episode again that doesn't make me want to get up and shoot my television,
right?
Maybe I'll stick with HBO at 10 o'clock on Sunday night.
The documentaries are fantastic. I mean, they really are the best. I think they're the best. It's so different than network television when you're talking about the really good documentaries that get behind the scenes.
Hey, Buzz, go to peoplecards.net. Charlie Broyhill just brought me a note that said that they have a website. So while Buzz is looking that up, listen, about The Sopranos, yeah, it sucks. Last night's episode was...
Foundering would be the word that I would say.
It was another snore fest.
It has lost its way.
Last night, I mean, and they've only got two episodes
to wind things up. Why are we wasting time with Polly Walnuts and Christopher stuck in the woods for a whole hour?
Because I'm sure that that guy got away and he's going to come back, and there's going to have to be a hit on either Christopher or Polly Walnuts because of the fact that he's got an alliance with this Russian mafia gang, and that's probably the storyline they're setting up. But it doesn't matter. The show is lost. The show got popular, and it's garbage now.
It's,
it really,
you know,
is.
It's boring now. I mean, to watch...
Horribly boring.
To watch it for an hour, the highest compliment I can give The Sopranos is that up until this year, the previous two seasons, was it on two or one?
Two years. This was the third.
I never checked my watch.
Yeah.
I would never check my watch, and when the show ended,
right,
I would be amazed that the hour had flown by so quickly.
Not anymore.
Last night, I checked my watch 10 minutes into the show.
Well, last night when they officially turned Paulie Walnuts and Christopher into the Three Stooges, you know, when they made these professional killers.
Paulie's hair.
Yeah, I know. His, like, painted, spray-painted hair, and then... it just seems to me that inside of 24 hours, like well inside of 24 hours, you don't starve to death to the extent where you're sucking on ketchup packets like it's the greatest thing in the world.
Right. And at some point, wouldn't you call somebody besides Tony?
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you were really lost in the middle of nowhere, wouldn't you call someone else in the crew to say, hey, you know, we're right off exit 13, the car is here, please come get us?
Yeah, I would think they would have called Silvio or an underling, but I mean... just stupid, and they were stupid, and they make this guy, you know, this sloppy Russian guy, and I guess they justified it that he was a commando,
mm-hmm.
but it was a plot line that was dumb. It just, and it made them out to be cartoon figures. The greatest thing about The Sopranos is
you're right, they used to be real mobsters,
real tough guys, and you would sit on the edge of your seat for that whole show, no matter what the plot line was, because you knew perhaps, hey, these guys are real, legitimate badasses, and you don't mess around with them. And you know what? I'm sure that's what they are in real life.
Last night, Frieda and I were watching it. Well, hold on. Let me get her on the phone, because she's been a big Sopranos fan even the last couple of weeks when it started to slide down. 2 weeks ago, I gave them the benefit of the doubt.
I was...
Yeah, okay, you were first.
I was down on them from that two episodes ago. I just said, this show is lost.
But last week, I said, boy, it really blows. So we're watching the show last night, and is she not there? Why is she never there when I need her? I'm going to have to take her to a restaurant tonight.
Oh, God.
And forget my handgun inside.
I'll be right back.
Yeah. Well, anyway, she says to me last night, we're watching The Sopranos, and when Paulie and Christopher are at the Russian guy's house, and when Paulie goes nuts on him with the weight thing,
right,
Frieda says to me, oh, well, look, that should make you happy. Look, they killed somebody. And I said, yeah. You know, I'm looking, I said, yes, go ahead and mock me. That's what I want to see on the show.
And that, really, if they had left it at that, where they really did kill the guy, it would have been...
And 10 minutes later, I'm disappointed, because what they've done is they've stolen a scene out of Goodfellas,
right,
where they open up the trunk of the car, the guy is still alive. Now, if they're real mobsters...
They put three in his head right there.
They do just what Joe Pesci did in Goodfellas. Are you dead yet? Boom, boom, boom.
But if they're Hollywood TV, bad plots, phony, contrived, they walk him out into the woods and then free his hands up, and the guy's only about 6'8".
Right, so that he can dig his own grave.
Just dumb. And you know what? They don't dig graves in that kind of weather. They really don't. I mean, you know what I mean? When the ground is frozen, you probably can't dig a hole anywhere.
I don't know. I just didn't like it. I think they've got... A great dynamic when you've got Carmen Tony
right
sitting in Dr. Melfi's office. Now, that's something I've been waiting for the last 3 years. They never go anywhere with that.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell happened to the guy who raped Dr. Melfi?
Yeah.
Is that was just one episode, which now I guess is just forgotten?
Well, they did more damage, I think, on last night's episode as far as credibility for the storyline than they've done all the time they've been on the air. I really was sitting there going, okay, this is a garbage TV show now, like all other garbage TV shows, where they've stayed on too long. And, you know, man, there is a life expectancy for serial television. You can only go so far. That's
however,
why feature films are feature films.
However, you know, we've given them the benefit of the doubt because they only make, like, what, 10 episodes a year, and because they took an extra year,
maybe that's the problem. You know, maybe the problem is they did take too much time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it would just seem to me with the amount of time they took, the writing especially would just be a little further along and we wouldn't be going into these silly little plot lines. Everything has changed on The Sopranos. Mm-hmm. They were legitimate mob guys. I think it changed when Ralphie beat up the girl outside of Bada Bing. I don't think your average mobster, all the stuff I've read about that stuff, if they're trying to make them credible, that doesn't happen no matter how wasted the guy.
I happen to like that scene. And I, for one, wish there was more Ralphie on the show.
Well, I like Ralphie, but it's just, it just seems to me the whole plot line is lacking credibility. And what I loved about The Sopranos was it was Goodfellas credibility, like the real scary mobster stuff, combined with this home life that Tony had, this double life, and now they're just overlapping them too much.
And you know what I'm thinking about? Remember the whole first episode where the FBI was planting all the bugs in his house?
You hated that,
right? Oh, no, yeah.
Did you like that? I liked that.
I hated that at the time, but here's my point. What happened to
that? Well, Meadow took the little lamp to college, and that's the end of their clever way of eliminating that story.
And I don't give a rat's ass if Meadow Soprano has a cold and what's his name?
Jackie Aprile.
Yeah, Jackie Jr. is banging somebody else.
You know, he may be a good-looking guy, but he's got this voice. Okay, Meadow, I gotta help my mother. I gotta help my mother go drop off and
register her car in the middle of the night. Yeah.
Hey, what's the matter? Come back. I'm a good looking guy.
Sounds like you said his right nut pinch. Yeah. They only got two more episodes left, and I don't know how they're gonna win me back in the next 2 weeks.
You look back over this season, the amount of doors they've opened, all the different things that they've started, and there's no payoff on any.
None. And there was no payoff in last night's show at all.
Not at all.
And they usually do have.
I think tragically that we're going to go down with like a Who Shot JR episode.
Yeah.
That they're setting it up now that Tony's nutty girlfriend might want to kill him.
Right.
Or Paulie's going to get in a fight with him.
If they do that, screw him.
Or the Russian's going to want to clip Tony. I just got a gut feeling that the last scene this year is going to be Tony getting shot. You're not going to know if Tony's going to live or not, and you don't know who shot Tony, because it might be Carm that shoots Tony, because
it's amazing.
Didn't they show a scene from next week's episode where Carm is in a confessional?
Yes, she's talking to the black priest.
She's talking to a priest, saying, I don't know what's going on in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just so... The promos, the previews from the next week are much better than the show itself.
Yeah. Right. But there was one great moment last night, Bobby Bacala in a hunting outfit.
Yeah, okay, but you know
what's incredible,
that?
Though? Here you go.
You laugh at it for 5 seconds, though, when it's over.
You've got The Sopranos. You've got you've got Uncle June, the actor who is probably one of the top three actors on that show.
Right.
Who they just, they don't use him anymore.
And you know who else is never on anymore?
Furio. Furio, right. Who I agree is fantastic. He's got the comedy thing, but he's also the leg breaker.
I love Furio. He's never on now. And Paulie Walnuts is one of my favorite characters.
When he's used right.
Why all of a sudden last night they made Paulie Walnuts into a pussy beyond belief,
right,
that he loses his shoe in the middle of the night in New Jersey, and the next thing you know, he's huddled up in a blanket, and it was Christopher's fault.
It's not Christopher. I mean, you know, it's just dumb.
Yeah.
Really depressing.
Yeah, really. I mean, the show really is letting us down.
And, you know, when a show gets that much hype, they owe us. They always, when they waste that much time making us wait for the episodes, and, you know, all of a sudden there are three episodes left, and they trowel out something like something that you'd see on a movie of the week.
And you know what they threw in last night? I don't get why. They bring back Tony's Russian girlfriend.
Oh, right.
You got the Gama from 2 years ago. Where, you know, she calls him on the boat. Hey, I left my thing on the boat. What? I thought she's out of the picture. And what about Janice? What about the guy that punched Janice?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
He
ended up under the sleigh or something like that.
I know. I mean, I hate Janice, but how about a follow-up on Janice and the guy that falls asleep all the time?
It's weird. It's lost its way. A real connoisseur of that show would tell you the show is floundering. I mean, it's just foundering and floundering.
And there weren't even any good scenes of Tony just walking around in his robe last night.
No. And Tony it was too busy. It's almost like they had too many elements in the plot, and then we get, you know, Lorraine Bracco again, which every time now I see Lorraine Bracco, since nothing's happening with that plot line, I'm like, here we go, blah, blah, blah. Tony's going to talk about blah, blah, blah.
All right, here's the thing. I was discussing this with Frieda last night. Do you think that Lorraine Bracco thinks that Tony's banging the Mercedes girl because the Mercedes girl reminds him of his mother, or because the Mercedes girl reminds him of
Lorraine Bracken.
Dr. Melfi.
Well, he basically came out and said that.
Well,
night.
I said that to Frieda, and she said, no, it's about Tony's mother.
Yeah, but he said it that he reminds that he's got the hots. They've got that sexual tension happening between Dr. Melfi and Tony, and that's apparently what he came out and said to her. You know, she reminds me of you. Well,
yeah.
Not really, like, yeah, but the, yeah, certain parts.
Yeah, well, Frieda's watching that, and she says to me, no, he's talking about his mother.
It's but, not entirely clear, because in the opening previews, they reminded us that a couple of weeks ago when they were at the zoo, Tony was at the zoo with his new girlfriend, and she said to him at one point, poor you. And he freezes a little bit and thinks of his mom.
Oh, poor you.
Saying poor you. So there are some odd connections there, but yeah, mostly I think the girlfriend reminds him of Dr. Melfi.
Well, I just wish that they just, you know, make the show good like it was before. Just do the show you used to do.
Yeah. Make it really a mafia show. Make it a scary mafia show. Don't make it, you know, make us on the edge of our seats because these guys are doing bad things. Don't make it into, you know, God.
And to quote Regis Philbin, the famous rape. You know, yeah. Again, what happened to this? That was an episode where my jaw hit the friggin' ground watching Dr. Melfi get raped,
right,
and waiting at the end for her to say something to Tony, of which she says nothing about. And what now, has Dr. Melfi cured herself? Because the last time I checked, she was upset about the rape.
She was drinking like a bottle of vodka.
Right. She was drinking all the time.
Right.
She was having to take prescription drugs. She was going to see Peter Bogdanovich all the time because she was out of her gourd.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, she's okay.
Well, we needed to spend time in the Jersey woods with Christopher and Pauly.
For an hour. And I got a theory about that, too, that all of that seemed very Fargo-ish to me.
Yeah.
And the episode was directed by the guy with bad teeth from
Steve
Fargo.
Buscemi, right?
Right.
Right.
I mean, all the outside stuff. Think how many scenes there were last night of just the camera panning the woods.
Yeah.
Just back and forth, wide, sweeping shots.
Yes, yeah,
what a waste of time.
Three in a row. Very depressing. Yeah, three in a row.
Christ. Why can't they be like us? Listen, I'm not blowing our own horns.
It's true.
I'd say out of 30 shows, 30 shows are perfect.
Yeah, I agree.
That we put on.
That's documented, though.
Yeah.
Yes, that is absolutely. That's down in the place where they keep the records.
Mm-hmm. We're even entertaining when we're talking about how bad something else is.
We're even entertaining when we're walking through an airport. We're constantly entertaining.
And we're not getting, do you know how much James Gandolfini gets a year for doing that show? $10 million.
What?
Yeah, right.
What? He gets $10 million for doing that show?
Yes.
I just wish they'd make it just a little more, you know, entertaining. They're going to go away for the better part of a year. Sucks.
Yes, it does.
Sucks.
Hello, Dynamite.
Call me back.
Hey, Dynamite.
Hi.
Remember when Paulie and Christopher, they were in the van? And then they're grabbing the carpet out of the back, and Paulie's tying it on his foot.
Right.
To go through the woods, and then it slips off, and he's like shooting at it.
Yeah. How stupid was that?
No point. I mean,
no point at all.
It was ridiculous.
All right.
And then finally, then all of a sudden, old Tony's like, hey, Paulie, Christopher, and then they know where each other is and everything. It's, you know.
Right. Yeah.
It was to me.
You know, when you're really talking about writing a story, that was the way. You know, they forced that's the way that Tony's going to be able to tell where they are, because Pauly Walnuts happens to shoot at the piece of cloth he had on his foot. Jesus.
Hello, Don, my show.
The only reason we're this upset, I think, is this
because
show.
We love it so much.
This show, I had said this to people, this was the best written show on television. I mean, it was really wonderfully written. And somewhere along the line, abruptly, it just quit.
Fell apart, man. I don't know, maybe that dude David Chase should do what Aaron Sorkin did. You know,
get himself some mushrooms?
Get himself some shrooms and some pot and some crack.
Head for Vegas.
You know, head for Vegas and write us some better shows, for God's sake.
West Wing now, in my opinion, better written show on a consistent basis than The Sopranos.
Hello, Don and Mike.
The series just sucks since year number two. It's a complete setup from one show to the next, just to try and get you to watch the next show. It's missing everything. Last night, though, was pretty entertaining. It was the first one where I wasn't looking at the watch.
Really? What was entertaining?
Well, that someone died, that there was something interesting as they were running around in the woods for a while. You know, I called you after the first show of the season and said how boring it was, and you guys told me how much you loved it. Well, finally, something happened. And you guys hate the show now.
Yeah, but you see, I still stand by the FBI one because it was credible. Because that, to me, is how they would break into a house and how the FBI would run a surveillance on this guy. And I felt that that was interesting. Last night, I felt that I was watching a cartoon.
And I think I'm let down because I
was... It was like the scene where they're out in the woods with the FBI. It was interesting for the first 5, 10, maybe 15 minutes.
Yeah, but they didn't
an hour, an hour and 45 minutes of them putting a lamp in, and then they've got the balls to then have Meadow take the lamp with her to school, which is a complete rip-off.
Yeah, it is. You're right.
I agree.
That you're absolutely right about.
I agree. And I was bored with the first episode that I gave them the benefit of the doubt because they got to do that to set up the rest of the year.
It's all set up to get us to watch the last episode where, you know, they'll have 10 people trying to kill Tony, trying to get you back for episode.
Yeah, but they don't need to do that on HBO. That's why I don't understand why they're doing that. And, you know, he's right about it being a ripoff because, you know, we're Monday morning quarterbacking.
Of course we are. It's what we do best.
But you take that lamp and you leave it in there and you have overheard conversations. You can have setups where they're trying to catch the guys doing something where maybe they don't catch them and maybe they discover them there. You can have real crime scenes. Stuff that I find interesting.
Even if Meadow did take the lamp to college, why didn't the feds try to go back in and put something else in there?
Right. That's true.
It's like Meadow took the lamp and they said, well, we give up.
That's the one area I don't agree with him about the interesting part of that episode, but he's right about the fact that they ripped us off.
There's no payoff. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, radio guys.
Hi there.
This is Edward from Alexandria.
I agree with
you guys 100% that the show has gone completely downhill. The last caller just answered one of my questions concerning what happened to the lamp with the FBI, so I must have missed that episode. But did you guys pick up on the interference with the cell phones? There's got to be something to the plot line dealing with that.
I disagree. I think that that's just a way to drag out the episode that Tony's never able to.
I might have
get in touch with Paulie.
I might have bought into that.
I was just curious as to what you guys thought about that. Love the show. You guys take care.
Thank you, my friend.
Do you remember after the first episode when you took calls for about 45 minutes about a guy on a staircase? And, you know, when we're given the show, like, they're really planning everything.
Right.
And now I just don't even think they're putting any thought into it because they're not going to pay anything off.
No, you know, they got a half-hour show. They say, how do we make it an hour? Okay, well, let's have Tony try to call Paulie, and they can never quite get through to each other.
And somewhere along the line, they softened these guys up. They softened Tony up. They softened
them broader.
They made them, yeah, they made
less
them too,
real and more broad.
Less real and softer and not hard-ass, scary gangsters. The element that used to exist in The Sopranos that drove that show was fear. It was a frightening show. You took all the family stuff out of the equation. You were still, underneath it all, was always, hey, somebody's going to get whacked. Someone's going to get horribly, like, beaten up. It's going to be that scariness, you know?
Don't you think that 2 seasons ago that girl would have gotten shot or at least beaten up for throwing a roast beef at Tony?
Yes!
You know what? Absolutely, right?
Tony wouldn't have reacted the way he reacted to her on the boat when she answered his phone.
But we are supposed to think that that's a grand comedic moment on the show when she throws the London broil at him and then when he's
that's
a
the grapefruit in the face.
When he's at Junior's house and he says, hey, I need a shirt because my shirt smells like meat.
Right, yeah.
It's like that, we're supposed to, you know,
it's a laugh track.
That's what it needs, a laugh track.
Hello. John and Mike Show. Hello.
Yeah, how's it going? Yeah, I'm disappointed as well, but, hear me out. This is my take, at least, of what would make this show good for the last episode. That Russian guy comes back, right?
Yeah.
Everyone has these rumors that, you know, that his nephew's going to get whacked, right? So what's going to happen is his nephew's going to get whacked, but Paulie Walnuts is going to have something to do with it. So then that puts the tension for the next season. I think it's
just... They are talk teasers, okay?
Uh-huh. Yep.
You get what I'm saying? It's like Fitty Talk. They are talk teasers. Stop teasing me with stuff you're going to do on The Sopranos. Just do it.
Yeah.
Just give me one episode that's got tons of good stuff in it.
Right.
Just one time, because I'm tired of wasting... I'm planning my whole goddamn weekend about being home at 9 o'clock on Sunday night.
You know, even the money on top of the audio system when they go to the Russian guy's house, the money's on top of the audio system. Those guys are out of there. They take the money, and they're out of there.
Right.
They don't dick around with it. They really, really don't. He doesn't break the guy's universal remote if he's got the money. Just the way that those, even the way movies about the mafia guys are, if the money's there, they're out of it. That's all it's about. I mean, it's really all about the money.
It's a business. You know, I certainly hope David Chase is listening tonight. I'm sure he listens to us every night on WNEW.
Please do, David.
I am very upset with you, David. David, I prescribed for you a bag of mushrooms and some pot and some crack.
How could you take Paulie Walnuts and turn him into Shemp?
Get yourself a ticket to Las Vegas and hook up with the dude from the West Wing.
Paulie Walnuts looks like Shemp. He looked like Shemp last night with his hair, you know. I just was waiting for him to go...
And don't do this to Paulie Walnuts.
Yeah. He's done.
Don't do this to him.
It's too late. It's already been done.
He is a man, and you've made him less than a man now.
I will never think of Paulie Walnuts the same way. Now, Christopher, he's had his weak moments, so he's okay. He would be kind of wimpy out there in the woods. But Paulie Walnuts was always kind of the rock.
Right.
T, you want me to kill him, T? There we go. Now it's like, let me suck on the ketchup. That tastes pretty good.
I'm cold, Christopher. Oh, I lost my shoe.
I'm going to shoot this piece of cloth I wrapped my foot with.
I can't believe how cold it is out here.
He's gone, P. He climbed the tree, even though I shot him in the head.
Yeah.
We're disappointed, in case anyone can't tell.
When we love, we love.
Right.
When we hate, we hate.
Yes, and it turns very, very quickly.
Let that be a lesson. Don't cross us.
And don't give us something we love and ruin it.
Right. Yeah.
Don't take it away so soon.
I mean, if you only had 2 years in you... Just have put the show on for 2 years and then take it off the air.
The thing is, though, we're all such fans of that show. I think we all can agree that show could go on for another couple of years. That just write it, come up with different ideas. It doesn't have to be the dialogue, but what's all this contrived stuff?
And that's what that, you know, makes you appreciate even more. Like Gary Shandling, Larry Sanders' show. He took it off.
Yep.
It was still great.
Yep.
It was still funny. He took it off, and when you watch that show now, you watch a rerun of Larry Sanders, you go, God damn, I wish that show was still on. You know, meanwhile, he's doing awful movies with his butt buddy, Warren Beatty, and if he had half a brain, he'd go back to doing the Larry Sanders show, but he did get out at the right time.
Well, the guy that ruined the show, The Sopranos, is Jackie Jr. He ruined that show.
He came into the plot line. Meadow. I'm a big tough guy, but, you know, it just doesn't credit the voice he had. Meadow. I can't come to your dorm room when you're cold.
Can I tell you, I'm going to confess something. Okay. That last night, during The Sopranos, I actually turned on the Regis show.
No surprise.
Wow. All right, well, because Ben Stiller was in the hot seat. If I wanted to, you know, see the Celebrity Millionaire show.
Right, it's a landmark moment.
Yeah, how bad is that?
They better get used to it. It's no longer, The Sopranos is no longer, after last night, because it was three in a row, it's no longer the show that, you know, you cannot miss for any circumstance.
I turned off The Sopranos to watch Regis Philbin. God, please, Robert Blake, take me out to dinner, sit me in your car, and then shoot me in the head. Please, end my life. Thank you. That's it. Sopranos, you're dead to us. You hear that? You're dead to us.
We were first.
Right? We were first on the bandwagon.
Right.
And we're now first off the bandwagon.
Yeah, it's tough to bounce back.
Goodbye. I'd rather watch 61.
Wow.
Than watch an episode of The Sopranos.
Have you gotten a chance to catch 61 yet?
Yeah.
How was it?
Better than The Sopranos.
Okay, good.
Wow.
I'd like to see it.
Sucks.
I'd like to see it.
But it's better than... Yeah, at least it's...
Jackie Jr.
No, Jackie Jr.'s not in it, and Meadow's not in it.
Hey, I'm such a superstar. I got all the chicks. I sound like this Meadow.
Meadow!
Dang!
You're going to give me Meadow. Give me Meadow on X. Yeah. Give me Meadow when she looks halfway decent, when she's showing her boobs.
Yes.
I don't need Meadow with a... Well, I got a cold and I got a stuffy nose.
That's always irritated me, too. That's always, to me, floundering plot line, too. And you have to have somebody with the head cold. You know, say, hey, give her a head cold. And all the writers may be,
duh. Okay, all right. Well, there you go. Sopranos. Well, listen, Pete Johnson, I think, can say it best.
I'm sure he can.
Peter?
Eat my bung. Dickweed.
Right. That's for you, David Chase. We will be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, The Don and Mike Show.
This is Stacy. I'd like to say to all the sales guys and our sales staff, you're a bunch of faggots. You're faggots, a bunch of pussies.
Anyone in particular?
Must I name names? You know who you are.
Name the old guys by name, because we don't know their names.
I'm gonna call you Alan, your pussy. Steve, pussy.
There you go.
Goldstein, Johnson, pussy.
Isn't there a Pat?
Ivan, pussy. Pat, an old pussy. John, forget about it. You suck. Faggots, your pussy. All of you.
Paul Gorgi.
He's a handsome, stunning faggot.
Sultans of Spunk, Don and Mike.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, this is Vivian. I'm an avid listener. I love you, all of you.
Hi. Thank you. Hi, Vivian. Vivian, are you on people cards?
What's that mean?
Well, we just got some people cards today, and we were wondering whether you were on one of them.
I don't know.
Okay.
How would I know?
All right, never mind, Vivian. What can we do for you?
Sopranos, to me, is a dark comedy. It's never been totally serious. It can scare you to death 1 minute, and the next minute, they're over the top.
I agree with that. It's a poorly written dark comedy right now.
I don't know. All my girlfriends, we had a ball laughing about last night's show. On the other hand, you thought it had another meaning, or it didn't have enough meaning. I agree with you about Meadow. I think that was all fluff. But out in the woods, in the snow, that was the most hilarious thing I'd ever seen.
Well, you know, I think, with no offense to Vivian here, I think that what we're having right now is the dividing line.
Mm-hmm.
Of I don't want to say smart people,
right?
But people who get it and people who don't get it. For people who get it, I would think that you're disappointed in The Sopranos, and for the people who don't get it, well, you think The Sopranos are great, and you're probably the same people that made The Mummy Returns the largest grossing movie in the history of show business.
I happen to miss that. I'm more interested in the Memento with Guy Pearce. However, I think you're looking for The Godfather, and I think that it's more like Gary Shandling. There's more stuff going on that makes you laugh.
You know, I am looking for The Godfather. I am looking for Goodfellas, but I also understand that it does have its comic side. But I don't think it is a dark comedy per se. I think it's more of a drama with comedic moments. And I think even...
A dramedy?
Not even a dramedy. I think Goodfellas also had its comedic moments when he's talking about the paw, its hoof got caught in the front of the thing.
There's so many spots of Goodfellas we laugh for. We're not supposed to laugh.
But that one, you know, where he's talking about the hoof, what was it? Its paw, its hoof. That's a moment, but it's not supposed to be funny.
A lot of it's so over the top. I mean, Ralphie killing the stripper the way he did. I mean, it was all...
Honey, though, wait. Stick with the last 3 weeks, though.
I agree. And the last 3 weeks have not been what you've expected.
Thank you.
Good enough to hang with it.
All right, good. Well, I don't know.
Okay. I think we're
probably all going to give it one more shot.
I stay with you guys even some days when you're just doing farts and belches.
Well, listen, what do you know?
Thank you.
Goodbye, Vivian.
She's a selective viewer and listener.
Yeah, what the hell? I mean, you know, there's no accounting for taste.
Right.
When The Mummy Returns...
The Mummy. You used to call it The Mummy.
The Mummy
right.
is the biggest opening non-holiday in history. Do you realize that The Mummy Returns made more money than the Star Wars movie did 2 years ago?
You're absolutely right about no accounting for taste. I'm blown away by that. I'm astonished by that. I mean, I'm astonished because on a lot of the East Coast, it was a beautiful weather weekend.
Yeah,
and people weren't doing things outside so that they can go in and watch that piece of crap movie.
People were going to go see Dudley Do-Right, mm-hmm. The George of the Jungle,
right.
Brendan Fraser starring in The Mummy Returns, and it made 70 million freaking dollars.
It's astonishing.
Right. And look at all these people like The Sopranos.
I think it's good marketing.
We got people on the phone now, nothing but people who like The Sopranos.
That's good. That's what it's all about.
Hello, Don and Mike.
It was incredible.
See?
What, the Sopranos?
Last night.
You call it Sopranos, I call it Sopranos. It was incredible?
It was such a good episode that it just blew your mind, you guys.
And how did you like The Mummy Returns?
I'm not even going to see that.
Why do you think it was incredible? Seriously, why do you think it was incredible?
Well, you know, it's an hour show. And that's the thing about things that are so great, like, you know, when the Beatles first came out or whatever.
Wait. Answer the question. Why was it so good last night?
When they're sucking on those ketchup packets.
There you go. See, that's it. That's what it really is. Ketchup packets, funny, hungry, sucking like babies. That's good.
I might be a stapler, but...
Sir?
Last night's episode was incredible.
What's another show you never miss? Just out of curiosity. Not a television show.
Sir?
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Robbie.
Sir, just out of wild curiosity, what's another television show that you don't miss?
Play the Truth, Sopranos is about it. There's not much on. I mean, I'm not... I watch quality programming.
Sure. Well, give us another quality show that you watch.
Okay, well, you're going to have to bear with me because I'm going to have to think a bit.
Yes, think very hard.
Even go back a few years, a show that you used to think was great.
Yeah.
MASH.
All right, goodbye.
It's going back a very long way.
You just lost the discussion on MASH.
Way back.
Well, no. MASH at the end.
Hold on.
See? Yeah. And MASH. Controversy?
Yep.
See what The Sopranos is stirring up? See, last night's episode was so incredible.
You know, I don't believe him. I don't think he's even genuine. Yeah. I don't know. When he's going, you see?
I'm totally.
You want to be on the radio, sir. You don't have a legitimate point of view.
Do you like Jamie Farr?
Jamie Farr. Yeah, he was cool.
Who was he?
Wasn't that Klinger?
Yes. You like Klinger?
Yeah, he was cool.
You're a douchebag. Bye-bye.
Immediately.
There's certain guys that have, you know, want to have a debate about this that I think are genuine and other guys that are
right.
Just,
I think you're right.
You see? Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hi, buddy.
You got to quit whining about the whole lamp that Meadow took disappearing and all the other plot lines that are evaporating, like Harpo walnuts and all that nonsense. The most important overlooked plot line so far has been the development of the lesbian thing between Christopher's girlfriend and the tennis pro. What happened with that?
Oh, you are so right.
You want to fill a half hour, don't do it with a cell phone not working.
Hold on, right. Don't tell us to stop whining about stuff we haven't done. When you're whining about something they haven't done, but we applaud you because that is another good whine.
What happened to that?
That is so... Oh, my God, is so right on. If they had stayed with the plot line of the lesbian encounter with the tennis player and Dr. Melfi's rape...
Right.
All you need are two main plot lines to keep a show going.
Throw in a little of the FBI surveillance and you're okay.
Yeah. All you need.
You got a season.
And I also, you don't need Big Pussy to come back in a flashback. You have Big Pussy in the mirror again and you just have him. That kind of thing.
Right. All right, thank you. But no, that's excellent. You're right. That's another one. What happened to the lesbian thing?
Right.
I can understand having a storyline or two and leaving them hanging and coming back and dealing with them later. But we're up to, what, a dozen, two dozen now?
Yeah.
Storylines that they've started and just never addressed again.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Edward from Alexandria again.
Again?
Hey, is that okay if I call twice?
Yeah, no. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oh, Mara, Don, how are you guys doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
I went to go see The Mummy 2.
The Mummy?
Yeah, The Mummy. And if you go in expecting what the preview gives you, it's going to be a cheesy movie with lots of explosions and colorful lights to keep you occupied. You get exactly what you want. So you're not going to go in there and get, you know, sweeping cinematography.
Hey, listen,
Gladiator.
Listen, hold on. Don't get me wrong. I like dumb movies, and if I wasn't working at my kids' school this weekend, I probably would have been one of the lemmings myself.
Yeah, Mr. Work Up Front, Party in the Back, Joe Dirt, that you actually went and paid $8.50 to go see that movie.
Yeah, and I told you it sucked.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is I'm amazed that The Mummy is the highest grossing movie of all freaking time.
Well, one thing with The Soprano guys, whatever happened to that psychotic chubby girl that Meadow was rooming with? She's like seems okay and they're friends again now that she's being cheated on. Remember how she was in that scene at the
beginning? Yeah, right.
Last night she came out of nowhere and comforted Meadow.
I loved it when she like pulled her hair out and stuff when she was going crazy.
Be careful of television success because this is what happens.
Yep.
We're all paying attention now.
Mm. I bet you I know why The Mummy was so successful.
Why?
Because it brought in the wrestling fans.
Yeah, Rob, I'm serious, but I bet The Rock probably added $20 million to that box office.
Absolutely, because the wrestlers mostly just stay home and watch TNN.
Hello.
But let's go to the movies this weekend.
Don and Mike Show, hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
I just had a quick comment about The Sopranos, and then I wanted to ask Robbie a question, but I'd like to see Jackie and Miss Soprano have an affair on the boat and Tony catch them and see where they went from there.
Jackie, you mean Jackie Jr.?
Yeah.
Hi, Carm. I'm going to make love to you now. Oh, T, I didn't know you were here, T.
I wish for the last 2 years that they'd let Carm bang somebody.
Yeah, she needs to get some of her stuff. I have a question for Rob. I've gained a lot of weight here in the last couple of years, and I've noticed more and more when I get out of my chair that I have a wet spot on my seat, and I figured if there was any kind of prevention that would help me with that.
Rob, I think it might be one of your haters here. I mean, I you know.
I'd say better wiping, sir.
Hold on. I got to get these waffles out of the bakery. I'm getting my pudding ready. What does he say about that?
Are you busting Rob's balls, sir?
No, I've started sweating when I eat, so I'm starting to feel a little more like him, so I'm asking for
Rob has lost a lot of weight.
He is a ball bust. Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hi, hey. Kind of backing up your story about, or your report about who gets it and who doesn't get it with the Sopranos. The guy that you can't talk about, he absolutely loved it.
Oh, all right. You mean the disc jockey?
Yeah, the disc jockey from, up north.
Okay, all right. I got you.
He absolutely loved it this morning.
Big Bird.
All right. So,
yeah, Big Bird.
If Big Bird loved it,
he was talking about it this morning for at least 30 minutes about how
there is no
show that he's ever seen.
Okay. There is no disc jockey more out of touch with America than Big Bird.
Excellent.
And if Big Bird loved it.
Yeah, right. That's funny. That makes me feel good. I like that.
Big Bird probably went to see the movie, too. Hello, Don and Mike show. Because that's the thing that divorced fathers do. They take their kids to the movies.
Right.
Hello.
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 How are you?
Well, hello. Hello, you're on the air.
We're on the air.
Yes.
Yeah, hey, I was the janitor that cleaned up after you guys over there in Reno.
Hey, sorry about the biological stains.
Yeah, that was terrible. Well, I'll tell you what, though. You guys helped me earn more in one night than I have earned in a month. I made over $400 cleaning up after you guys.
Well, God bless you. I'm glad you made some money.
You betcha, boy. That was really great. I wish I could have seen the show, though.
Oh, you mean you actually cleaned up that...
I had to clean up. There were used condoms up in the back areas. There were condoms with money on them down by the stage.
I think he's talking about he cleaned out the arena area where we actually did the show.
Yeah, sir. You betcha. That's my job. That's
used
what I do over there.
Condoms.
There were legacy.
They were used condoms?
Oh, yeah. Used condoms with money rolled up in them. Looks like they tried to throw them up on the stage or something.
I think there was a condom promotion going on.
There might have been. I don't know, sir, but it was fun.
Did you take...
You guys helped me earn more in one night than I've earned in a month working for that place.
Well, great. Did you take the money out of the condoms?
Oh, sure.
There you go.
Yeah, I used the tweezers and rubber gloves, though.
Good for you.
Very
good.
Careful. You got to be very careful on those. Things, but
have you spent your money yet? Your $400?
Hello,
hello.
I'm back again.
Yes. Have you spent your $400?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. I'm just enjoying your show today, and I really hope that maybe you guys will, when you come back again, I'll still be working there, and I'll be able to make some more money.
Yeah. That's terrific.
That's really good. Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Mike.
Yes.
Mike, would you do me a favor?
What's that, sir?
Could you talk like Paul Lynn for me?
That's actually Buzz that does that, sir.
Oh, is it? Well, Buzz, would you do it for me?
Don't be ridiculous.
Oh, jeez. Well, I'll tell you what.
Hard to believe you're a janitor in a casino.
Oh, yeah, well, what do you expect?
Right. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. You guys have a good day, and we'll talk to you later.
Keep sweeping up other people's garbage.
Yeah, you betcha. And spent condoms at the same time.
Very good, right, sir.
Didn't find any sploos or anything in there.
All right.
Yeah.
Good thing.
Hard to believe they haven't advanced you at the Silver Legacy yet, that you're still just a janitor.
Yeah, well, I'm the head janitor.
Ah, good for you.
I started off as the lowest on the rung, and then I worked my way up to head janitor.
Are you absolutely falling down drunk right now?
Just about, yeah. Yeah, and I'm using some of that $400 that I found cleaning up after you guys, and it's really nice.
Well, Mike asked you.
I asked him.
You asked him what he did with the money.
I asked you that, and you didn't say that. That's the reason I asked you that question, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Come on.
No need to apologize.
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking beer.
Oh, come on, there's something else besides beer.
Well, yeah, but Buzz knows.
Oh.
Hey.
I do now.
All right, well, we'll see you guys later. Oh, geez, I got some helium going. Hi. We'll see ya. Bye-bye.
But he's not an obnoxious drunk.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
Happy drunk.
But, you guys, I'm really glad that you did shift things around and go to the Silver Legacy, because that's one of the best places. One of the places where I worked myself up through the ranks of janitorial and...
Let me just tell you, the people right now, the Silver Legacy Casino in Reno,
if they like this ad,
they're glad that you're calling,
Hey, right. You better darn believe it, yo. Well, it's just too bad. But anyway, you guys have a good day.
All right.
The
thank
Silver
you.
Legacy, bring your own pillows.
And I'm recording everything you're saying.
And likewise. Very
yes.
good.
Yes. Okay. Right. Well, you guys take it easy and have yourself a good day. Okay. JR saying bye-bye.
Oh, your name's JR?
Yeah. Yeah, why?
Just wondering. I mean, you identified yourself. Maybe someone at the Silver Legacy would like to call you in tomorrow and tell you what a great job you did today.
Yeah, they'll probably call me and give me a pink slip.
I can't imagine it'll be too long before he gets promoted to valet parking.
You know, they didn't want the fact that the place was trashed the night you were there. So,
hey, sir, the place
I might be in trouble.
The place was not trashed.
Well, it was trashed pretty good. If you're a janitor, you know.
No, it wasn't.
That was a perfectly good Quonset hut when we left.
That was terrific.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm telling you, people they did up in the back seats and whatnot. And heretofore and all that other stuff.
There was a condom promotion last night where they were handing out free condoms. That's why you saw the condoms.
There were condoms just below the stage with money in them.
Yes,
there
said that before.
Condoms, there were some condoms with other stuff in them, too.
But you're also high and drunk.
Well, sort of.
And you had said that the condoms didn't have any spooge in them, sir.
I didn't say that.
You did say that. We have it on tape.
The ones I found had money in them.
No, you said that.
You thought that they had no spooge.
You said they had no spooge. You said that. We have the tape.
Okay. But I also cleaned up those that did.
What's that?
Those were in the back
so
areas of
condoms that had semen in them.
Of the theater.
Wait a minute, hold on. You're saying the condoms that had semen in them, you cleaned them out?
Well, I had to because that's my job.
Now, you're lying.
No.
No.
You're just so wasted. This is my skull. I'm so wasted.
No, actually, the ones in the back, the ones I found in the front by the stage had money in them. They were rolled up with money in them.
Count backwards from 100 right now. Count backwards from 100. Go.
100, 99, 98, 97, 96, 95, 94, 93, 92, 91, 90, 89, 87, 86, 87. Oh, geez, well,
he got to 90, 87. 87,
86, 85.
All right, hold it.
83.
Now give us the alphabet backwards.
Alphabet backwards? Okay,
yes.
Z, Y, X, W. Oh, that's pretty hard to do. I mean, I couldn't even do it when I was sober.
All right. Wow. Thank you.
Okay, well, I wish I could have seen the show. I didn't get a chance to. I just had to clean up after.
You said that before.
It was fun.
Nice.
I made about $400 doing it.
We've heard that also.
Heard that, yeah.
Pardon?
We've heard that also.
Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice.
All right, goodbye.
All right, bye.
See you.
There he goes.
JR, the drunken janitor.
There he is. Jesus.
Wow.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Hey, I just wanted to call and let you know that you guys turned me on to Sopranos. I ordered HBO this season just because I was listening to your rundown every Monday. And you're absolutely right. The last four episodes kind of tank.
Right, well, then cancel HBO. Don't blame us.
No, I'm not blaming you. I'm thanking you.
Good. Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
I appreciate the show. I've even gone back and rented the first season so I can catch up to you guys.
But we do not endorse Arliss, so don't get mad at us when Arliss comes back on.
No, Arliss sucks. I wouldn't dare watch that.
Hey, but that show about the mortician. I'm back in that show.
You know what? HBO is the best at hyping up shows and making them look good.
Really?
Yeah, I bet.
I love the actor. I love the old actor. He is the same actor in Something About Mary that is the psychologist that's sitting in back of Ben Stiller in the opening scene, and he's eating. I like that actor. I like the premise. I think it might be funny.
6 Feet Under looks like a good show, but I'll tell you this about it. HBO sent it back to the producers after they looked at it, and they said, it's too safe. It looks too much like network TV. Can you, and this is a quote, F it up for us. And so, apparently it started out a little weak. Hopefully they'll make it stronger.
Okay, listen, we got to take a break. When I come back, I do want to tell you about the weekend that I had on Saturday. Possibly, and I'm going to get my wife on the phone here. She'll back this up. The scariest thing that could happen to a couple of people on a Saturday afternoon.
Wow.
Happened to us at our home on Saturday afternoon.
In your home?
Yes, in our home.
Inside your home?
Inside our home. Started outside our home and ended up inside our home.
Did it involve you going back to a restaurant to get your gun?
It did not.
All right.
We will be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln, the Don and Mike Show.
Oh,
Okay. Hi, this is Dorm Radio, D-O-R-M, broadcasting live from the basement of the science building.
How about you, Don and Mike? Semper Fi.
I don't like that one. Just play another one.
You'll laugh until your nipples bleed. The Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don.
Hey, and Mike. Hi.
And Mike. Maggie from Portland, Maine.
Hi, Maggie.
Hi, how are you?
That's where we're going to be Friday.
Yeah, hey, Portland. Right. That's right. Wait, Portland, Maine. Fantastic.
You guys are great. And I'm not 45. I'm 47. But I listen to you guys all the time. And I'm sort of I identify a lot with Frida.
Yes, well, and, hey, who doesn't?
But I would never go to one of your shows.
Why?
I think it's a little too raunchy.
Honey, you like sex?
At this point, no.
Do you like DNB?
No.
DNA?
No. Well, you know, a lot of people enjoy the radio show and, you know, and don't go to the live show. That's fine.
What's wrong with you? You're 47. You don't like sex?
Well, you know, it's that time of life.
Oh, no. Well, why are you calling to tell us this, though?
Just because I think you bring humor to, you know, an otherwise, you know, a spot in the day where you are just hilarious.
Honey, are you married?
Absolutely. 20 years.
Well, you know what? Bring your husband to the show.
He won't come. I asked him.
Because really, you should judge the show after you see it. You know, bring him to the show, and maybe it'll loosen you up. It'll get some juices flowing.
It'll get some fire back in that relationship.
We got the fire back. We have the fire. It's just not, you know, like Don every night.
Doesn't it help? Doesn't the show help with hot flashes too?
Honey, when's the last time that you did stuff with him?
Last night.
Oh, last night. But you don't like it?
Passionate.
But you don't like it?
No, I love him.
Oh, no. But it, I'm referring to the act. You don't like it?
Oh, no. I love it.
You love it?
Well, you just said you don't like sex.
No, I love sex. It's just that it's not, you know, it's not as frequent as it used to be.
Right.
Right.
I know.
So what is your point?
That can change.
Come to the show.
I don't know that I can stand all, you know, the,
It's funny.
You know, well, I know it is.
No, but I mean, it really is funny.
But do you get 47-year-old people?
Yes.
Yes.
You do.
And older.
And much older.
And we get some of them up on stage.
Well, I won't do that.
Well, I mean, that's
of course.
Of course you won't. No. Give it a try.
My underwear's not bad.
See, you're curious about the show.
You know why you called us?
You called us because you want to be talked into coming to the show.
Right, but we're not in the business of doing that. If you want to come, that's fine, and we would be glad.
Actually, what I was going to do is bring you some lobster rolls when you're doing your show.
Bring them in your underpants.
Oh, that would be sort of nice.
Bring the boys lobster rolls, though, because I don't know if they've had it. And that's the best thing you can eat up there.
From Two Lights on the Ocean, I'll bring them over when you're doing your show.
Please do. Okay. You can do that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Want some champagne?
Sure. In your underpants.
Mm-hmm. Lobster rolls, champagne, in your underwear.
You got it.
There
okay,
go.
Honey.
All right.
All right, we'll see you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
What an uptight lady she was.
Very much so.
What did we talk into?
Who wants some lobster rolls right now? I like the swinger I live with. God, thank God I have Frida. Frida's only 2 years younger than that broad. Imagine that if I was married to a woman like that. No offense, honey, if you're still listening.
She is.
But she is. Because she said originally she doesn't like sex.
Hello.
Hi, honey.
I don't know. I don't go to the show either.
I know, but you at least you like sex.
Yeah, but you don't have. You can like your radio show without wanting to go see the live show.
I agree.
All right, listen.
And another thing, you know, we don't need to get all down on hot flashes.
That's right. But don't forget, Frida went through menopause
early
years ago. Although she's still even as recently as a couple of weeks ago was still getting hot flashes.
No, I don't. Actually, you know, they're not seeming to bother me as much right now.
Listen,
I think it's the vitamins.
I want to tell you some stuff that happened this weekend. My wife and I both spent a large majority of the weekend doing volunteer work at my kids' school for the school's annual festival. You know, that's something that I've never quite bought into. We pay an ungodly amount of money for the kid, for our kid to go to the school every year. Yet on top of it,
yeah,
we volunteer time so that the school can make even more money.
That money that the school makes goes to scholarships, though, baby doll.
All right, well, listen, I'm going to talk about that in a second. What I do want to tell you, though, about is the scariest thing that happened is I got some music here. Saturday afternoon. My wife and I had both been at my kid's school in the morning working.
I like the music. The music is really adding to this. I hope we're not disappointed like with the Sopranos.
You won't be.
Saturday afternoon. We're taking a brief break from working at my kid's school. Frida's in the backyard in the hammock. I'm in the front yard.
Seems so peaceful.
Overseeing. We're installing a new basketball rim.
Right.
All of a sudden, a car pulls up the driveway.
More than one car.
You know, first it was just one car. A bony hand sticks out of the open top on this convertible. And I can't quite make out who it is.
I know who it is. You know, I got sucked in.
Well, Mike, I want to tell you that it's scary when, on a Saturday afternoon, Ken Stevens
right
drops by your home.
Yes, I know. Ichabod Crane.
Now, I want to tell you something else scary. Ken's wife, Roz, has a Porsche. Ken Stevens has now a matching Porsche.
Oh, my God. Frightening.
So, the scary news at about 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon was these two matching Porsches came pulling into our driveway. I see the bony hand of Ken go up.
Right.
I still don't know who it is.
I never would have described his hand as bony.
You've never seen him in a golf shirt and shorts.
So it's all in his belly.
Yes.
Okay.
Other than that, he's like
skin and bones.
Yeah, right.
Transparent skin.
Right. They come pulling in, and as soon as I say, wow, that's a nice car. Wow, that's a nice car behind it. Oh, my God. The Stevens have dropped in for an unannounced visit.
How terrifying is that? Very scary.
Now, it was really fine. I mean, I didn't mind the fact that they came over. And they brought, actually, a friend of mine who I haven't seen for years, a guy I worked with in Chicago. You know Buzz, Tim Kelly?
Oh, yeah.
Tim Sabian's his real name.
Wonderful guy.
Yeah, so he's there with Ken, and his wife is in the other car with Roz.
My other line's ringing.
Let's see if it's Roz.
Okay, hold up. Hello? Okay, Pumpkin, I'll see you soon. Love you.
No, just a boy checking in.
Okay, good. Well, okay, don't stop anywhere. Come on home. Bye, sweetie. All right.
Hey, conscientious boy. We make him call.
Very good.
That's good. Right, leave school in the afternoon. Give us a call before you come home. All right, so they come pulling up, and I hear beep, 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 beep. And I go running to the back of the house where Frida's laying on a hammock reading a book. And I say, honey. The Stevens are here! The Stevens are here!
No, it was nice. Actually, you know, you're full of baloney. It was wonderful. We had a very nice afternoon. It was such a beautiful Saturday. Just opened a few beers, visited a little bit.
Tim's wife could not wait to leave. I don't know if it's us.
Well, they had a long drive. They were going all the way, you know, back out of town.
Yeah, they're going back to Philadelphia. Long drive, 3 hours. I don't know if it was us or if it was me, but as soon as this girl, Tim Sabian's wife, walked into our house, immediately she said, we can't stay. And
first words out of her mouth?
First words out of her mouth. And she seemed nice enough. I mean, she's a nice-looking lady. I've never met her before. Frida immediately started with a host of stuff, picking up all the... Because our house was an absolute pigsty. Picking up everything and saying, who wants a beer? Who wants a beer? So at one point, Ken and Tim and I are sitting in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sharing a beverage together. And Ken's son, Douglas, comes in and says to this other guy, Tim, says, hi. Your wife says it's time to go now. I mean, I don't remember her name, or, you know, it'd be Maggie or whatever. Maggie says it's time to go now.
What's right? Pam, my sugar baby?
What was her name, honey?
Pam.
Pam says it's time to go now.
Pam turns into Maggie. She was there a short time, wasn't she?
Yeah. So she
it was one of those deals where the women are in one room chatting and the men are in the other.
Right. Yeah, but anyway, just very scary to have to be socializing with Ken on a Saturday, especially when it's unannounced.
Right, right.
But it's just Ken, and I'll tell you what's even scarier about it is the fact that they weren't really going to stop at our house. They were just, like, stalking our house.
They were just going to drive by, but you were in the front yard.
No, well, here's the deal. I had been out. I went to get something to eat for me and Frida. Bart was working at his job, a weekend job. And as I was coming down the street I live on, I saw Roz's car go by. And I waved, and then I saw the second car go by, and I didn't recognize who it was, so I didn't wave. And I got home, and I think what happened is that they were just being sneaky, driving around.
Right.
They saw me pass them. I waved, and then they thought, oh, my God, he saw us.
So you had just gotten out of the car then, basically.
Yeah, I just got out of the car, just walked inside. As soon as I walked inside, they came pulling up. And I think the thought process from the Stevens was, oh, we've been out driving by his house.
Right.
Uh-oh, he saw us. Mm-hmm. Now we better go back and act like we were there to see him all along.
Well, and didn't I called her the other day driving by. I think our house is a regular tour stop.
Yes, Roz was out driving the other day, too, and was just driving by your house. by our house. Although I want to tell you something funny about Ken. Ken has lived out where I live in Northern Virginia for almost 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And our houses are maybe 3.5 miles apart. And there's one main road that gets from my house to Ken's house.
Right.
When they were leaving, Roz said to him, because they're driving their separate Porsches, you know, which is a ridiculous thought in itself, that both of them have Porsches.
It's a good transportation arrangement, though, when you have a family.
Yeah. Well, Douglas is small enough that he fits, at least now.
Right.
He fits into the back seat.
Does he really?
Yeah, well,
yeah, we can't give him a hard time about that because we never ride together in the same car.
Well, that's because, we did Saturday.
Yeah, but only under duress, and I was sneezing and from cigar smoke the whole way.
Well,
when you want to drink martinis. Then we ride in the same car so you can have a driver.
So anyway, now you made me forget what I was going to say. Never mind.
Well, you're talking about the transportation issue between the houses.
Headed home on the main road. Okay. 3 miles away, and very, very simple. They're pulling out, and Roz says, because I'm still standing at the car talking to Tim and talking to Ken, Roz says, Ken, can you find your way home? And he looks at her, and he goes,
No.
He just shakes his head no. He can't find his way home from where I live.
Wait for me.
Now, keep in mind, Stevie Wonder could find his way home.
Well, Sugar Bear, you know, I mean, as much as you deny it, you two are a lot alike. I mean, although you can find your way anywhere, we had lived in this house 5 years, and people ask you for directions, and you hand the phone to me.
Well, because I don't know the streets, but I at least once I go somewhere.
If you live for a place, you know, and I remember this happening. We've lived here now 9 or so years. But when we had been in this house 5 years, and people ask you, and there were only about 3 streets you had to tell them, and you could not do that.
No, I'm not good with the streets, but at least I know how to get somewhere.
Yeah, we're talking about the same town.
Yeah, right.
We're talking about the same town.
Yeah,
it should be
small suburban area.
He's been to your house 2 or 3 times.
And as we pointed out to him, he's been to our house more than 2 or 3 times. He's been to our house maybe 10 times. We have never been to the Stevens home.
Well, they
never once
drop in whenever we want.
You've never been invited?
Never been invited. Never once been invited.
It's a tremendous production because they have to lower the drawbridge.
Anyway,
they told us that they felt bad for having dropped in, that we should drop in on them.
They really don't live in the town.
See, but the thing is,
they really live in New York.
But the thing is, they know that we would never just drop in on someone
with
the way that they just dropped in on us.
It's a safe invite.
They know we wouldn't.
That's too funny.
You know, we have to be invited. So,
you've really never been to that. I thought, I assumed you'd been to their house.
Never.
You've been to their vacation spot, so that's good, right?
Yeah, but never to his house. I mean, this is not my life's ambition.
They're people to give and people to take, Tom.
It's not my life's ambition.
Yeah, you have us out so often, Mike.
Well, no, listen, hold on.
I don't live in the same town.
We have been to Mike's house on more than one occasion.
You know what? But I think it's us. We don't get invited. A lot of people don't. Mike doesn't invite us to his house terribly often. The Stevens never do.
Why don't they... You're not in the habit of inviting people from the show to your house, are you?
No, I mean you're not alone in that.
Rob and I years ago when we gave when we used to tease Mike that he never had us out to our house, his house.
Right. And then he had us out to his house.
I think it's us.
No, it's not you. No. Nobody from the show comes to my home.
It might be us. I don't know. You know, Frida's telling me all the time that people hate us because of the things I say on the radio. She's constant. I mean, she says to me all the time, you keep effing up all these relationships because you talk about people. Here's her new thing for me. If I want to talk about stuff that happens to me now, I have to make up names. Even though I don't use last names, I have to make up names of people now and give people fake names.
Well, on this last particular weekend, I think everybody on the show would agree, all of us together would agree that probably the last people we wanted to get together with on the weekend was anybody else from the show.
Right, because we'd seen each other for 12 days in a row.
12 days in a row.
So, let me tell you the thing at Bart School. They're having a festival, okay? I guess it's for scholarships, as Frida says. And... we're out there working. Now, she's the one, like, the vice chair of this thing. So she's been working on this thing nonstop. She's out there all day Friday. We go out Saturday, work part of the day. My job yesterday, Sunday, all day, is to drive a golf cart around.
Hey, you got that 2 years in a row.
Yeah, now.
Your dream gig.
Technically, it's supposed to be a good gig, because what you do is, as far as the volunteer jobs go at my kid's school, it's the top of the food chain.
Right.
Because... you're in a golf cart all day, and theoretically what you're supposed to do is shuttle old people from the parking area to the area where the school festival is.
So you've definitely gotten entrenched in that gig because you've gotten that 2 years in a row, your dream situation.
Well, it's because my wife is second in charge.
No, I'm not the second in charge, but really, there's not another job that you would want to do anyway.
Well, no, I worked in the griddle one year.
I remember this every year. You worked in the griddle one year, and it was just like hell. You were fighting with people. You were having arguments with people because their food wasn't cooked properly.
And one year I had to sell ice cream, and one year I had to sell soft drinks.
Sound like grease.
Yeah, so now I'm in this job where actually at the beginning of the day, I'm feeling pretty good because I'm driving my golf cart around, and the deal is, and I mean thousands of people go to this goddamn festival at my school. The deal is that you're supposed to find old folks, and you pull up and you say, hi, can I give you a ride?
Or
anybody,
you know, people with packages.
This is the only thing that starts to piss me off is I started about 11 o'clock yesterday morning, and things are cool till about 3 o'clock.
Right.
And I'm taking old people, and I'm actually feeling good about this, like I'm helping old people out. But once it gets to be 3 o'clock, you got all these housefrous who think that they're at Needless Markup or something, and they're standing there with a bag that has handles on it, okay, a paper bag with handles on it, that in which they've got... I don't know, a small painting or something, or a bunch of flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, their arm's not going to fall off to have to carry to this.
Not
going to
separate their shoulders walking to the car.
And they're all dressed like Marlena Cook. And I'm getting this thing where I'm getting, and actually, I swear to God, woman yesterday, a boy, puts her fingers in the air and gives a snap.
Said the word boy.
Boy. Gives the snapping noise.
Mm-hmm. Well, that should be a compliment because the way Barty and I spotted you when you were driving around was by the back of your head. So if they're yelling boy, you should be flattered.
So I pull up and she says, can you take me to my car? And, you know, I don't want to say no. I said, sure, I'd be glad to. Where's your car? I swear to God, the broad says, it's the Range Rover right down there, exactly five spaces from where we were standing. So this broad gets in my golf cart.
I'm surprised. You've mellowed.
Yeah.
Last year's you would have said, that's close enough for you to walk, ma'am.
She gets in the golf cart, and I drive her to the cart. And she turns around and pulls out a $1 bill.
Oh, my God.
And she tries to give me $1. All and I said, no. I'm a volunteer. And she said, no, You deserve it.
Oh, no. Really? Super patronizing me, thinking that this is my job. And I said, no, but listen, my son goes to this school. Really, please. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you.
And then for the rest of the afternoon, I fell into a habit, and I can finally relate to this, and I know we've bitched about this on the show
right.
in past years. When you go into a place where you have to deal with the public, and you walk into a store, you walk into a restaurant, you walk into McDonald's or a bookstore,
right.
and the people behind the counter never make eye contact with you, and you'll stand there, and you're looking at them like, hello,
right.
I'm here to buy a book, but they're looking everywhere except you.
Right. Sure.
I now understand it because I was on the other side of it.
Oh, absolutely.
I would be driving this golf cart,
mm-hmm.
and I would see a guy 25 years old,
right,
in great shape with his wife, nice piece of ass, and I know immediately, you know, this spoiled a-hole just wants me to give him a ride to his car. So what I would do is I would just selectively not look at him.
Right.
Uh-huh. And I know that he would be looking at me the whole time, and I would just drive by, and unless they actually put their hand out,
I'd pay money to get a videotape yeah. of that and watch you doing that. Because I know exactly what you're talking about. People in positions like that are always able to do that. It's funny.
And unless they would actually put their hand out and say, would you give me a ride?
Or like a loud, excuse me.
No. I would just drive by.
Right, because really.
And you don't know how many people said to me, yeah, I saw your husband parked behind somewhere smoking a cigar.
Well, now, is it against, I was on a six-hour shift yesterday.
Right.
Is it against the rules for me to take a brief smoking break?
Number of people. My sister Robin came. Yeah, I found him down parked by his car smoking a cigar.
There is a guy in Penn Station in New York City. There's a guy that works behind the counter at the Amtrak ticket booth. He's been there. He's got to have been there for 1 million years. And out of all the guys, they got 8 people with a line of 30 people, and they're selling tickets. And this guy, the way they do it, the light goes on when he's ready. So it's total power. It's complete
right.
power. And I see him, and he's looking at his computer screen, but he's not looking at his computer screen.
No, of
and
course.
And he's doing the little filing of papers. And then you see him, and every time, first of all, he takes probably, and I'm being conservative here, 4 times the amount of time between customers as the average person. And you will see him finally, he takes a big deep breath and he goes, and the light goes out. So what I did finally, and I knew it wasn't going to work, I walked down there, I was next in line, and he was free and they were all taken. And I walked down and I stood in front of him, and he points to the light and goes,
the light's not on. I'm not ready. Get back over there.
And I went, and I was joking with another guy about it, but people do that.
I can relate to it because I'm on the other side of it, and I derived great pleasure for the remainder of my 3 hours driving this goddamn golf cart around from seeing these goddamn yuppies who could walk themselves to the
Sugar
car.
Bear, you would be the first one to want a shuttle ride.
Honey, no. I would not, and I'll tell you why.
Yes, you would.
Listen, there were 2 kinds of people that were at this thing in my kid's school. Either these young yuppies or people who seriously were going right to the cemetery after they were at this festival at my kid's
school. There were lots of people just like me and you. I don't know which group we fall into.
No, they were very young or very old.
Where can I drop you off, ma'am? I'll be right over there at the cemetery, please.
And there was one guy. Now, I'm driving. Part of the job is you drive through the parking lot and, you know,
to the cemetery.
You're trolling for people. There are thousands of cars.
Right.
And you're driving around and you're trying to find the old people who need the ride.
Sure.
So I see this one.
Many of them are face down on the grass.
So I see this old dude get out and he's got a cane, right?
And right.
So I pull up and I go, hi, can I give you a lift? And he goes, that would be wonderful. I'm just waiting for my son. And from around the corner comes Sherman Klump. And next to him, his wife,
right.
who was Big Mama.
They're driving the tires down into the mud.
So they put the old spindly grandpa
right.
in the front seat with me.
Sure.
And they put these 2 gigantic fat people.
You're actually plowing the parking lot.
In the back seat. And as we were going up a hill, I swear to God, the front wheels lifted off the ground on the golf cart.
You're tilling the soil.
Yeah.
You can plant seed back in the golf cart.
And I refused to do it. At one point, they wanted announcements made saying that right. hamburgers were only $1.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody gave me a megaphone and said, here, You're the professional. Drive around in your golf cart and make announcements that hamburgers are only $1. And I said,
boy, that would make you too much of the zippy pinhead if you were doing that.
I said, no, I'm not going to do it. And they said, well, would you drive this other guy?
Why don't they have you put a clown nose on at the same time?
They said, would you drive this other dad around while he does it?
Who's making the announcement almost as bad.
Yeah. And I said, sure. So we start making the rounds in the golf cart. And it's like, I'm having to tell him. I said, okay, there's a bunch of people right there. Yell at them.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you heard? Hamburgers are only $1 right now.
Is it hard for you to drive the golf cart with your head down, not looking up, really trying to look down at your feet?
Everyone's talking about it. Cheeseburgers are only $1 at Riddle's Griddle.
Watch out for that table. You're going to hit the table with your head down like that.
It was embarrassing. It was really... It was. By the end of the day, I was totally just demoralized, and I came away from it with... Well, in some ways, a greater hatred for my fellow man, but also a greater respect for those who work in those jobs. And I can see why they don't make the eye contact with
you. Sure, of course. It's a power thing.
I can see it. And some of these sons of bitches are so goddamn lazy, where they'd be standing on the corner. They, like, have flowers, okay? And their flowers would be in a little box. And the woman would say to me, can you take me to my car? I'd say, I'd be glad to. And she'd get in, she'd sit in the front seat of the golf cart, and she'd say, aren't you going to load the flowers? So then I have to get out of the golf cart, go to the back.
They ought to make it clear that you guys are doing this, you know.
Load the flowers in, right? Tie them down. Mm. We get to the broad's car, she does the boop boop, and the trunk opens up. She just goes and starts the car up and turns the air conditioning on because it's my job to unload the flowers and to put the flowers into her car.
Did she give you a dollar?
She did not.
Well, take her to the cemetery.
She did not give me a dollar. And at one point I said to Frida,
all the others.
I was driving around, and Frida said, how's it going? And I had just gotten done with one of these goddamn, yup, and you know, The women wearing the gigantic straw hats, the big, like, with a small little pillbox on top, big sombrero type thing, and the big Gucci sunglasses, and, you know, all this crap, and they've got their little poodles on the...
the string.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Mrs. Howell.
Yeah, right. Lovely. And at one point, I pulled up to Frida. She's watching, she says, hi. She gave me a big hug. How you doing? I said, I hope our kid appreciates this. And she says, no, he doesn't. But you're not doing it for him anyway. I said, well, who am I doing it for? Right? Hello? Are you there?
Yes, I'm listening to you.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't know if you were still
there. You're doing it. I know this concept doesn't, you know, is foreign to you, but you're doing it to do a good deed.
Oh,
you're doing it for yourself.
I hate good deeds.
Yeah.
So I mean, I liked the good deeds for the first 3 hours when it was really old people, and I really didn't mind helping out the old people. And then the best part is kids.
Right.
Because all these little kids would see me driving around, and they go, hey, can I have a ride? Can I have a ride? And I pull right up, and I go, do you want a ride? They go, yeah. I go, no!
Your kids walk.
And then I would just tear away.
Running over several of them at the same time.
Would just take off. Yep. So that's my weekend. Dealing with people, and with Ken, and with Roz, and with Tim and Tim's wife, who couldn't wait to leave our house.
Very full weekend.
Isn't it much better than when you used to be a recluse and didn't have, you know, the social time with all these different people?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. You know, my wife keeps telling me how different I am. She keeps saying, do you remember a couple of years ago? What were like with our neighbors on the street?
It's fun.
I'm ashamed to admit I'm friends with all but the people
on the street.
It's fun,
but it's nice to know you can do a thing like that festival and still hate as much as you used to.
Oh, I do.
It tweaks it up.
More, possibly.
And you only have 2 more years of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2 more years of my kids go. And the thing is, Donald, I would hate this, too. You get in the car and someone says, this is a lovely school. I said, yes, it is. They say, it's really beautiful. And this festival is so beautiful. And I say, yes, it's very nice. It's so wonderful the school does this. And finally, after like 100 people have said this to me, I said, yeah, it's really wonderful the school does this. Do you have any idea how much money I have to pay to send my kid to this school?
You want
to? Not to mention, the fact that I'm out here driving a golf cart.
Sure, yeah. For Goodwill.
For free, so that more people can spend more money at the school, of which they already charge more than it cost my wife to go to college for
that's
4 years.
That's all for scholarships, boo-boo.
Okay.
That's all for people who can't afford.
A couple of people got a real earful. Got a real earful. And a couple of people didn't like it when I told them I didn't go to college.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get in a conversation with someone.
Oh, now we see the root of the attitude.
Some old people, like, does your son go to school? Yes, he does. What grade? He's a sophomore. Oh. Is he thinking about college? Yes, he's been talking to college. Where did you go to college? Well, I didn't go to college. Oh. And you know what's unsaid is...
Let us out immediately.
Yeah. What's unspoken is, well, that's why you're driving the golf cart.
You're totally misunderstood.
That's why you're
You were misunderstood and unappreciated all weekend.
Oh, God. And, yeah, and she's right about being busted. You know, they got a rule, no smoking on school grounds.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the spot by where I hid my car, by the woods.
Right.
And I would pull the golf cart behind my car, and I go in my car, and I get my cigar out, and I sit there for 5 minutes and just think, you know, okay.
Somebody asked me where you were. I said, look for smoke.
So I'm just sitting here on my golf cart enjoying a cigar, and all of a sudden I hear, beep, beep, beep. Hey, Uncle Mike, hey, Uncle Mike, hey, Uncle Mike. I look up, and it's my sister-in-law and my brother-in-law and the three kids, and they are climbing out of the car. You know, to get to me. They're sitting in traffic as they're pulling. They go, hey, what are you doing?
I'm smoking illegally.
I'm having a cigar on school property.
I told my sister it's better than when we were little girls, because Dad used to keep a flask under the front seat, and at least you weren't doing that.
Hey, okay, well, come to a school function for my daughter sometime.
Yeah. All right, sweetie. So that's our weekend. That's what we did all weekend. And then we got home last night, and the Sopranos. You hated the Sopranos last night too, right?
Oh, I thought it was so boring. I found myself dozing off during it, and even Mom hated it. Mom called me this morning and asked me what was the matter with it. Was it her or was it the show?
Well, I know we're late. I got to tell you one thing, sweetie. This is funny, though. Mike said he was going to call me last night.
I was. I mean, I said it to Laura. Laura wasn't all that interested in it, but I was excited, and I don't realize now what an idiot I must have looked like next to her, because I really got pumped up about it.
I said the same thing to Frieda. Do you remember last night when Tony was in the Russian guy's office?
Yeah.
Honey?
No, I'm missing. I don't remember what.
Don't you remember? What kind of vodka were they drinking?
Oh, they were drinking Grey Goose.
Grey Goose.
Yeah.
Grey Goose vodka.
It's surprising, because you would think he'd be drinking Russian vodka.
And that is a testament
how good Grey Goose is.
Yeah. Yes.
The Russian guy's drinking the Grey Goose.
And I remember we were laying in bed watching that. I said to Frieda, look at that. They're drinking Grey Goose. That's a Grey Goose bottle. And she looked at me like...
In the home, you know, guys from the home of vodka, the Russian guys.
She looked at me like, you are an idiot.
Yeah, my wife kind of gave me the same look, too.
You know what?
It's like,
wow. That's why that company, you said, why don't they send you Grey Goose? Because you certainly do promote them, but they don't need you. They got the Sopranos.
I guess they don't. But Mike was almost going to call me.
Yeah, no accident. Probably no accident that was in there. You know, it was in there that, you know, they were drinking that vodka. I wonder if there was kind of some kind of sponsorship deal that sure. was the vodka. I'm sure they pay for all that stuff.
All right, sweetie.
All right. Goodbye.
I love you.
You're a good dad, and I love you too.
I love you too.
You're a good dad and a good neighbor and a good guy.
How about a good husband? A great husband.
Well, I'm not going too far.
All right.
Goodbye, sweetie.
All right. Goodbye, honey.
Yeah, 3 out of 4.
Yeah, 3 out of 4. Right.
It's excellent.
That's not too shabby.
Good father, good husband, good neighbor.
Guy, neighbor.
Good neighbor.
Right.
Good neighbor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Father, husband. Guy, neighbor.
Husband,
husband was...
Yeah, husband. When we come back... Oh, I do know that you had a gigantic weekend, Mike.
I had a huge weekend. I had a very scary but wonderful weekend. Very exciting weekend. Very important weekend for me.
Huge weekend.
Big weekend. You know,
Mike O'Mara, full-time entertainer.
We flew under the radar. We flew under the radar, you know, because I didn't want it to be a big deal. And it ended up being kind of a big deal anyway, and it was very exciting. But crap made its official debut on Friday night.
Wow. So when will you be quitting the show to tour full-time?
I need to talk to you during the commercial break.
Okay. All right. We will do that here. And, Robbie, get the Jack Diamond music.
There you go. We can't talk about that without the Jack Diamond music.
Okay, we will be right back.
Number 1, Arbitron Lake, the Don and Mike Show.
This
is TV's Leah Remini. Jack Diamond is a horse's ass.
Hi, this is pro wrestler Mankind.
Jack Diamond
is a
horse's ass.
Thank you.
From the makers of Crouching Beeswax, Hidden Roy Hill, it's the Don and Mike Show.
Reminds me, I would like to get Leo on the show.
Yes.
Yeah. It's been a long time since we talked to Leah Remini. I was just perusing the dirty pictures of her again today up in the office in that
from For Him magazine.
Right.
Look at one picture. You actually see her nipple in her areola.
And it might have even been airbrushed further so you didn't see more of it. I think it was touched up a little bit so you wouldn't see more.
Dirty little girl, Leah Remini. Mm-hmm. See if we can get her on. And, of course, Mankind is coming on this week, Mick Foley, to plug his new book, which I had a chance to read some over the weekend. It's better than his first book.
Yes.
It's called Mick is Good, as opposed to Mick is Gone. A lot of people hold up signs saying Mick is gone.
Speaking of him,
Foley is gone. I don't know what it is.
I watched that Beyond the Mat this weekend.
And?
I weigh in with you and Buzz. I think all that stuff was real. I'm sorry, Mike.
Mike the Cheese stands alone.
Well, I'm gonna stand on the island and I'm gonna deal with it. And you know, I will defend my position. He'll be on the phone.
Yes,
I will defend my position.
Yeah. All right. So anyway,
it's fixed.
I think it's fixed. Pro wrestler Mankind coming on the show this week. Friday we'll be doing the radio show from the studios of WZAN in Portland, Maine, and then Friday night we have a Las Vegas style show at
the State Theater.
Thank you. That's the name of the place.
Downtown Portland.
I want to hype this up, too, that on Thursday's episode, we are giving away LASIK surgery, for both of your eyes.
Wow.
From the Winton Laser Eye Associates, 1-800-626-LASER. Now, this procedure is valued at $5,000. And we're going to have a talent show.
Ah.
And starting tomorrow, we'll be taking your calls to find out what your talent is. All day Thursday on the show. Talent show. Best talent wins laser surgery.
All right.
Valued at $5,000.
Wow. Very good.
That is on Thursday's show, and we will start soliciting for that on tomorrow's episode.
I am looking forward to that.
The girl with the tattoo is here.
Oh, good.
What's our tattoo girl's name again?
I don't know. I
forgot her name. Well, what's her name? Lisa? What's her name?
Mary.
What's her name?
Mary.
Her name was Mary.
Mary the tattoo lady.
You've been patiently waiting out in the lobby for quite some time.
It's cold out there.
It is cold in here, too.
Yeah.
Sorry you had to wait, Mary.
Okay.
The deal is, 2 weeks ago, Mary called up.
Mm-hmm.
She couldn't wait to play the secret sound game.
Right.
We gave her a shot at it. She lost.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that she would have WDAMD. What would Don and Mike do? Tattooed on her genital area.
We had to keep checking it to make sure it wasn't one of those temporary tattoos.
Right, because she didn't want to come in and actually have it done on the air. So, right. Mary, if you wouldn't mind,
let's take another look.
If you would drop trowel for your regular Monday
inspection.
Yes, so I got to look.
What?
What? I have to see it. So I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, Lisa wants to see it.
Right, there it is.
Lisa, take a good look at it.
It's nice.
Is it nice?
Yeah, I'm very impressed.
It looks real? Very real.
Real?
Does it look the same?
Yeah, it looks the same.
Turn around. Can I see, please? Does it look the same? Would you lift your hand a little bit?
Sorry.
Will you pull your underpants down a little more? Thank you.
Hey, you can see the letters.
Of course I can see the letters.
They're the letters.
So that's now what Buzz wants to see. Would you let Buzz?
There's Buzz. Everybody sure. gets a look.
At this
here
group,
we go.
Tattoo, right?
There you go.
Sure enough, that looks real to me.
That's right on her genital area.
Uh-huh.
Now, Mary, what response, have you gotten any response from, well, obviously anyone who sees that would have to be intimate with you.
Yeah, well, I mean, not really. I mean, all my friends at the tattoo shop saw it.
You just show it to them like that? You know, drop trowel.
I
take
it all the time.
You just walk around naked? Okay.
Yeah, every time I get drunk.
Right?
No, my one friend was just, she was like, concerned about me coming on here, about whether you guys would be nice or mean, but I told.
And how have you found us so far?
Oh, you guys are awesome.
Thank you.
Since I was a kid, I feel like you're like my uncle or something, you know?
That, I can't tell you how scary that is. Scary and tragic at the same time.
You know, why is it that people give us that rap? I mean, we hear that a lot from people.
I think they identify us with the battles and the fights that we have with people. And then when people down here, whether it's to do one of our talent shows or to play strip trivia or to participate in a Las Vegas-style show, they have a fantastic time. And, yeah, we have an occasion. occasional, you know, douche that we have problems with. But, I mean, other than that, we have a great time with people.
Well, why would we get down on Mary? You, if anything, you're a, like I told you last week, you're a man of your word. And I don't mean, of course, that you're not a man.
Very loyal listener. This is absolutely fantastic what you've done.
You got your genital area tattooed. What would Don and Mike do?
Wow. There, tell your friends there's no fear here, okay?
Yeah. Now, do you have a boyfriend?
Yeah, Chance. Yeah, I told you that.
Oh, yes. Right? A chancy man. All right, because I was going to hook you up on a date. But then, listen, never mind. We will see you next Monday. Much.
Okay.
And again, the only reason we're having you come back every week is because we didn't actually see the tattoo go on.
Mm-hmm. I don't mind coming. Oh, can I tell
you? Can you? What's that? Why you
stay on the microphone? What?
I just wanted to say happy birthday to Sean Parkinson, Brian Simpson, Karen Henry, and Aaron Grayson. All friends of mine had birthdays in like 2 weeks.
Way to go. You got it in there.
There you go.
And they, and Sean and Brian, like, adore you guys. So.
Oh, what about the other ones?
Oh, they like you too. I mean, Sean and Brian. I didn't really tell them at work that I was doing this at first because I wasn't sure if they'd be mad at me or whatever. Right. But they were all, like, really excited about it and stuff. So.
Good. How's that tuberculosis, Lisa?
Yeah, I heard that one. Lisa, that one actually picked up on all three microphones in here.
I tried to be quiet. I'm sorry. I'm feeling better. Thanks.
Hey, still tanning, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I see the face is a little red today.
It's good for the lungs. The congestion, it clears it out.
Mm-hmm. And check out Lisa's business suit today.
Yeah, she's looking very businesslike.
I told her I liked her shirt.
Yeah, sure. Look at that. Man.
Very stylish.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Very nice. Very good.
But see, when she takes that jacket off, though, then you see the real Lisa underneath.
Like, right. You go to the bar and you take off the jacket. So you
see, there you go.
See, look. Now, there's Lisa.
Wow. There's the funky look right there.
Right. Whoa. Sassy.
That's right. That's it.
You can go to the business meeting. You can hop on the back of a Harley.
Ready.
All right. Well, Mary, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mary.
We'll see you next Monday, Mary.
We'll last through the moon for you, Mary.
That's a beautiful tattoo. Lisa looking very, very smart in her business suit.
Smart business suit.
Her pants suit.
Her slack suit.
Maybe she can wear some culottes in here or something. Thank you, Lisa.
Booyah!
And thank you, Mary. That is a beautiful tattoo that she has right on her place.
Right on.
Is what would Don and Mike do? Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, I want to talk to Don, and I know you hate when people say, hi, can I talk to you guys? I'm on the air now, right?
Yes, you are. Very good.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi.
Listen, hi. I used to live in Silver Spring, and I used to love listening to you guys. And I'm going to ask the annoying question that I know the answer to is when you guys are going to get on the internet so I can listen to you up in Philadelphia now.
Well, you know, you had it all going right until that point. I mean, you knew that we didn't like people to call and say, am I on the air?
I don't think you're going to hear a lot of radio programming on the internet for a while until they get everything worked out.
You can't hear anything on the internet now.
So we have no idea, sir. That's the answer to your question.
So you guys are just the best. You know that?
Thank you very much.
Am I caller 100?
No, you're not caller.
Go away.
Not again.
Want it at all.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I've been here 7 years. I hate it here. Medication doesn't work.
That's the guy from your HBO
show?
I've been here
7 years.
That's the one I forgot. I've been here 7 years.
I hate it here.
Nothing medication doesn't here. Work. Nothing works here.
I've been here 7 years.
I hate the medication
I hate
doesn't
it here.
Work.
Hold on, where's the guy I'm looking for?
Medication doesn't work here.
Oh, I hate it here.
Hold on, Mike. I was looking for this guy the whole time. A guy who actually saw your band perform.
Ah, very good. Okay.
Don and Mike.
Hi.
How you doing? Sorry. Mike, I want to congratulate you and your bandmates on a very good performance on Friday night.
Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate that. Great time. Well, we had a great time.
I went in with low expectations, and you guys just blew me away.
Hold on. Let me leave you on hold for a second.
Okay. Wendell didn't, hump your leg or anything, did he?
No, not at all.
Nice. Let me leave you on hold, because I'll get Mike's viewpoint, then we can get the viewpoint of the guy who was actually in the crowd.
Very good. Very good.
For the debut. Mike's band.
Yeah, she had Nissan Pavilion this weekend. Yeah, it should be a good time.
I can't wait. Just tell me, seriously, 1 to 10, how would you rate Mike's band?
I'd give them an 8.5.
Hey, that's good. That's
great. I was impressed. I've seen a lot of local area bands, and they were really good.
All right, now, are you a friend of mine that's like calling as an alias, or are you somebody that I don't know?
No, you don't know me.
Ah, all right, okay.
Were you drunk?
No, I had 2 drinks, so that was it. But no, I was not drunk. I was actually there with my wife,
and my little baby boy, Mike. I think you saw us as we were leaving.
Yeah, I think
you made a little comment and said, oh, babies, that's nice.
All right, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah,
I'm always after showman.
Absolutely. People are dying to be entertained, Don. Remember, if you're writing that down, this is for all future entertainers. Babies, that's nice.
Say that. You hold on a second.
Okay. Right,
hold on.
Except for Buzz and right. Estate Strollers.
Yeah, there was a guy who was actually at your first show.
Yeah, that's good. That's
where was it? In a golf course?
It was Friendly Fire. It was up where we play golf up there. It was, you know, actually a lot of friends. It was mostly...
Like at the 19th hole or whatever they call it?
Yeah, most of the people that were there knew me. I mean, so it was kind of like a testing thing to get out there and just be among friends. And we, you know, one thing, I don't think I'd even told you that Thursday night...
You did not.
We had done a sound test to make sure before we went in that everything sounded okay in this room that we were playing in. And we had it was my evening with Wendell.
Okay, hold on.
It was lots of fun.
Testing! Well, I want to hear about it in the next break. Your band.
Crap.
Mike's band.
Booyah!
You know, really, if you decide to stick with us...
I am sticking with us. Yeah, and that was part of the whole thing, yeah.
You should have a battle of the bands.
You know, I don't
want to... Challenge Jack Diamond to a battle of the bands.
Yeah, that'll be happening. I'll do that, yes. Let's talk about that.
Okay, hold on. We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln, the Don and Mike Show.
That's why the bosses sent me out here. They wanted me to make sure none of the other crews robbed the joint. Like these two f***ing balloon heads over here. They were going to try to bang us out of 200 f***ing grand. Yeah, right, I'm sure.
Let them pop a couple of hot balls in ye. John and Mike.
If you just tuned in, we solved the Robert Blake murder case
early in the show.
In the first half hour of the show, when we called the LAPD today,
we helped them out.
Yep. Tomorrow on the show, I mentioned we're going to be hyping up the talent show.
Right.
Doing that Thursday, giving away the $5,000 laser eye surgery. We're having that show on Thursday. We'll hype it up tomorrow. And it might be overkill, but frankly, I think everybody is waiting for more Peter Johnson.
Of course, yes.
Hi.
More Peter Johnson.
Stupid whore.
Right.
Your pussy smells like garbage.
Peter
Go
Johnson.
F yourself, douchebag.
Tomorrow. I hope we're not running this in the ground too much.
Don't think so.
Pete Johnson by himself calls phone whores.
Wow.
Just Pete on the phone sex lines.
Hi.
And our tapes.
Tickle the Duke, useless prick.
I'm not tired of him yet. Okay, so that's tomorrow. Now, this weekend was a big weekend, the debut of Mike O'Mara's Crap at a golf course.
Yeah, where I play all my golf, where most of my friends hang out. That's where we started on Friday night. I didn't talk about it much because I was that nervous about having everything go the right way. And I didn't talk about Thursday night when we had our little sound check. And the guy, Brian, that runs the place, the general manager, the food and beverage manager guy, said we could bring our stuff in and actually leave it overnight so we wouldn't have to do it again. So we brought all this stuff in on Thursday night. And this was going to be our sound check. And, of course, you're in a place where people are eating. And so we're just waiting and waiting and waiting to set the stuff up, and then we have to set the stuff up by about quarter of 10 o'clock at night. And, you know, we'd had a bit of a week last week. We were still a little bit, you know, green around the gills and a little tired, and so we finally get going. And that was the night where I walked out of there feeling like it was going to be okay, but feeling pretty freaked out that things might not go well, because our sound check didn't, you know, we're not dealing with, shall we say, state-of-the-art equipment. With
right.
It's borrowed. It's kind of thrown together. And we have Wendell, who is an engineer, who's tying the whole thing together.
Our engineer, Wendell Hall.
And Wendell is you know, part of the group, and he has really, you know, been great putting everything together. But Wendell and I kind of, like, had our moments, and you and I both know how to deal with Wendell. When you're dissatisfied with something and it's concerning Wendell, it's not that you can just say, hey, come on, like, you know, let's get it together. With Wendell, you have to be very, very careful. And I think I went to the line with Wendell.
Wendell is high maintenance. Here he is now,
Wendell,
everybody.
Right, here's Smoot, ladies and gentlemen.
The very moody Wendell Smoot Hall.
Wendell will figure significantly in the entire story of the band and the weekend and everything else.
What a weekend. Friday night was great.
So Thursday night, we sat there and we're going through the sound, and we're, you know, it's kind of like, you know, we're getting this type of thing going on, and I don't know if I can make the headphones louder, but it's
Wee.
Like, hello, Wendell, this isn't, Wendell,
Wendell, and I finally, and I got to the point where, Wendell, we need these microphones to sound better. What can we do? He goes, hold on, let me just come over there and tell you. And he's all mad, and I see him storm across to the microphone, and he goes, testing! Testing! One, two, three, four. You know how Wendell is when he peels out of the parking lot?
It's an affront to Wendell if even constructively criticize.
You gotta be, you have to know how to do it. And with Wendell, I went to that line. Didn't cross that line, but I went just as far. And when I saw the, you know, his eyes were kind of getting that wild look, and he's going,
there was one point where Mike says to me, you said you'd worked with bands before, right? I said, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, and I'm
ouch.
Thinking, yeah, I've never had to set up a rock and roll band around the ladies' golf tournament. Get her!
So we're
that's a little new.
But let me ask you something.
It's very late, and we're very tense.
And we were waiting for quite a while to set up, and we're rushing to get something done, to get something accomplished.
Before, midnight,
over.
Nobody wants to be out till, 2 o'clock in the morning the night before we're going to do this.
From your perspective, has this whole rock star thing gone to my Mike's head?
No, not at all. He's still the same humble, self-effacing guy that we've always known and loved.
Wow. Right back at you, man.
Hey.
You're beautiful.
Will you tell me the truth later?
Don't go changing.
Look at that. High-fiving each other.
They've
now.
Bonded.
Sick.
So we get this thing done. We get down. We do what? Maybe, did we do three songs? Did we rehearse three songs? We needed to rehearse everything.
Almost even five.
Yeah, I think maybe five.
We have lickety-split.
We have 20 songs that we do, right? Isn't it about 20 songs that we do?
Yeah.
That's roughly one-third of the amount Jack Diamond does.
Well, that comes into play later because, you know, if you want to identify a problem area... You know, you don't know until you really do it that you need quite a volume of stuff to do. So we go through, we do five songs. Our keyboard player, Tom, who is the best musician in the group, he says, all right, listen, I got to go to Richmond tomorrow. You know, we're fine. And we all, you know, we're all sitting, all the amateurs, like wide-eyed going, we have to rehearse every song! Please, don't leave! We have to rehearse every song before tomorrow night! Don't leave! And he's like, don't worry about it, you know, because he's playing the bands for it. Don't worry, you'll be fine. So he takes off, and then Friday night arrives, and Wendell's up there. So Wendell says to me at the end of Thursday night, he says, you couldn't hear that speaker next to your drums. I said, no. He said, I'll fix that, no problem at all. And he says, we'll fix the microphone. So I said, yeah, that's no problem. And he said, he'll record it. So he was going to record it. Now, the only thing
Does Mike wear sunglasses while he's in the band?
No, Wendell, who wears the sunglasses?
See, and wears them well.
But who else wears sunglasses?
And Paul was wearing sunglasses.
Wendell, who else wears sunglasses?
You, Wendell?
Oh, at one point, yeah.
There you go. So Wendell's wearing sunglasses.
Wendell's wearing shades.
And I realized that I couldn't see anything.
Right. So
the problem Thursday night, too. I couldn't see the knobs on the board. It's you know, black on
black. Our very elaborate soundboard. Our very elaborate, urinated on soundboard that we have here.
It's the very same board that Don was using in Reno.
Yeah. It's lovely.
That's the board you guys are using for your band?
Okay. Yeah. All right. It's a little bit, well, you know, I didn't want to tell anybody, Wendell. Most of our stuff is stolen from here.
Okay.
No. That's what we're using.
Well, you're borrowing. You're not stealing it.
We're borrowing it.
It's a form of maintenance. I make sure that it works when we're not actually using it for the radio station.
Including those speakers that we have that look like they've been passed through some teenage colon. I mean, they're pretty nasty.
Yeah.
So we get done Friday night. We're ready to go. I don't think I've felt nervousness like this for a very, very long time.
I can't believe you didn't say one word about this to me or anybody on Friday.
I was scared, and I wanted I'm going to talk all about where we're going to be when we can do it, if people can come out and see it, but I'm not going to do that until
you
think we're ready.
You are going to take it to the next step?
Don't know yet. Really, I don't know yet. I'm not sure, but I know we actually... We did very well on Friday night, and the thing I like about where we do it is because we're among friends, and it's like I feel like we're just having fun with friends. But I, you know, if something changes on that front, hey, you'll be the first to know.
Let me know.
Don't go changing.
Let me know when you're doing a non-friend show. Not that I'm not your friend.
When we do that, I'd like you to come.
Let me know when.
I'd like you to be there.
Open to the GP.
I'd like you to be there when we do that.
Trust me.
You know, I really... But don't say it like that, because then I don't want you to be there.
No, I
want to
be there.
Trust me.
I want to see it.
Evil eyes.
No. I want to see it. I want to hear it.
We had... I don't know how many people we had, but we had a really great turnout on Friday night.
I don't know if
a lot of people that, you know, from the golf place where I play golf, a lot of people showed up to see it.
back, you know, before we started, I got up there. We weren't supposed to start till 9:30. And the nice thing that the guy did, this guy Brian that runs the joint up there, he provided us with food and drink in another room so we could pace around and eat, and most importantly, drink. Yeah, because right. You might be really surprised to know that the common thread between all of our bandmates, we like to have a cocktail or two before we perform.
That's a shock.
That's a real shock. Over. And we got rolling on it, and did the one problem that we had was, I think that we probably needed more songs to make a full evening of it. So it comes up to, I don't know when we were supposed to play till like 12:30 or something like that, but it was pretty much 11:45 and we're out of gas.
Yeah.
And, I think I said, we'll take a short break and be back to do our first set all over again, because we didn't have any more songs. We did 20 songs and we realized that we could have made, because we don't do like rock and roll songs, we do like blues songs, and we could have stretched them all out because nobody would know, because these aren't popular hits.
Right.
And we could stretched them out, but they were all like, we were finished, I think, 45 minutes with the first set that we did.
Yeah, 45 minutes dead on.
People applaud after the songs?
Yeah. I mean, these are my friends. My wife was there. My wife's friends are there. So okay. It's a lot of friendly fire with people going, yeah.
You should have seen the wives dancing with each other in the audience.
Yeah, it was great. The wives dancing. And then the people that, the people were busting our balls, and we got the lighters. And we're
Freebird!
And the Freebird people are like, Freebird! But all in all, I would say it went as well as it could have gone. I don't think it was, it wasn't any better than it could have been. It wasn't any worse than it could have been. It was very, we, though, because we put some time into it, and because things went down to the wire and were a little hinky right towards the end, we were acting like it was fantastic. And in fact, by the end of the second set, we'd all switched to higher octane jet fuel, and we ended up having this big band meeting out on the patio going, man, that was just fantastic.
Totally amazing.
We were, this big self-congratulatory.
Like midnight, and the band meeting lasted until 3 a.m.
So, Wendell, I realize there's something wrong with Wendell, as we're all sitting around, and it's most of the people that are in the band, and people are coming and going, and Wendell's saying things like, well, let me tell you it's over right now, let's play our chairs on my play. And I said, what, Wendell? He said, Nelson. And I realized that, Wendell, the alcohol goes to your brain and then to your mouth. And
oh, yeah. Like Keith Moon over here wasn't any goddamn help in emptying. What was it? Three bottles of Irish whiskey?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You drank three bottles of Irish whiskey?
Oh, not by myself.
Yeah,
but
all of
okay. We all like that fuel. And it went Irish relatively well. I went home in the wee hours. I mean, it was late. I know I got to sleep at 4 o'clock in the morning on Saturday morning.
Wow.
That's when I got to bed. I'm sitting there, I get up for T-ball at 9 o'clock in the morning, and I swear to God, if my daughter hadn't been standing in front of me in her uniform and said, Daddy, it's time for T-ball, I would not have made, I would, because it was like,
all right, Catherine, I'll get up out of bed now.
Well, Dad's a rock star.
And I went to T-ball, and T-ball was, thank God we had those little folding chairs. Because, when you go to T-ball, most of the dads get out and they help and they pick up the balls.
There's Michael on Saturday morning.
This is Steve.
Yeah,
Richard.
This is Donna Mike.
I was not feeling too well. And then I went back home after T-ball, and I'm just farting around. I didn't go to sleep. I didn't take a nap or anything. And I see Peter, this guy who's one of our guitar players, standing up in the driveway, and standing next to him is Wendell. And they had gone and picked up the drums from the golf club, and they brought it back, which was, this was like the task that I was putting off all day long that I just didn't want to do. And I said, hey, you guys brought the drums. Thank you so much. That's very nice. That's very nice. I appreciate that so much. And then I looked over and I said, Wendell, you don't live around here. What are you doing here? Wendell had you had crashed at Peter's house on Friday night, and
we left when the band meeting broke up,
and had spent the night at one of my buddy's house.
Drank a couple more beers, watched a Talking Heads video, and then crashed. So yeah, my thanks to Peter and Patty for putting me up. That was really really nice of them.
I guess the line was, "When did you go to bed?" And Wendell's like, "When? Stop making sense. Stop making sense." So that was it. It was
that's funny.
We're not gonna set any attendance records. I don't think we're.
And
but we had fun.
Not anytime soon. But goddamn, if they all go like this one,
we had fun. It was friendly fun. And I tell you, we're gonna have 60 songs by next year. We have the most important thing. I think it's about the most fun I've had in a long time.
Mike won't do it, but I will do it.
Mm-hmm.
challenge Jack Diamond to a battle of the disc jockey bands. Your band against his band. Come on, you'll kick his ass.
No,
come on.
Way.
Come on.
That actually, that's not something I am absolutely not.
Come on, challenge.
No,
him.
No.
He won't take you up on the challenge.
I don't even want to. My goal is to figure out a way, some way, to have Jack Diamond not mentioned when I talk about crap. That's my goal.
Listen, he's never going to talk about us, so don't worry about that.
I know.
It's always a one-sided battle.
I think the difference between Jack Diamond, I think if you read that article where he was talking about his band,
yeah.
Don't they do like top 40 hits? Isn't that what they try to do?
They do Matchbox 20 and all the great songs on Mix 107.
No, we don't do that. You know, if it's not three chords, we're not doing it. That's it, man. That's it. But we had a great time. And thanks to Wendell for all of his
thanks for having me along, man. That was
his drinking.
Time.
It was
good. Serious, I don't think. Congratulations to you. I know you're happy about it. And
one thing I do, being realistic about it, I think we have to really keep it in perspective that was friends and everybody else, and everybody was very supportive. And you know, being that the you know, three of us play golf up at that place, they provided us with everything we needed. Wow. That you know, if we go into the real world, I don't think it'll ever be even remotely like that. You know,
I don't think so.
Not at all.
You need to become the house band.
Yeah.
Work for booze.
We do work for booze. We do, you know, and that's good. That's goodwill with the guy that runs the place, too. You know, what does your band require? I put it on ice.
Booze.
That's it.
Hold on, I got another guy who saw the show.
Okay.
Dave, different than the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, you see Mike's show?
Absolutely.
And?
I was very impressed. And despite what you might think, Don, he was totally not the DJ band guy. He couldn't have been any more laid back.
Well, I don't say anything. I talk in between sets and I say, we're going to do this, but there's a guy out in front.
At any point did you say, hello, Vienna, or whatever?
No, the first thing I said was, we got done doing two songs, or did we get done doing one song?
After the second song.
After the second song, I said, thank you, good night.
Okay.
And that was
funny.
It, you know, and that was it. I mean, it was, I don't want to be out front. Yes, Rob, I saw the look. Yes, sorry.
At
yes.
any point, did you do a monologue that started, I don't pay any attention to rumors?
I don't pay attention. No, but I was wearing a jumpsuit.
Oh, that's good.
All right. And a bulletproof vest. And all sorts of body armor.
It was a good time for everybody that was there. Everybody in the band looked like they were having a ball.
No, we are. I mean, it's fun.
It was great.
It was great. It was fun. It was fun. I had a good time.
I'm glad you had fun.
And we're going to keep doing it, and we will be going out into other places. We are going to, because we have opportunities to do that, and we're going to do
sure.
it.
Sure. Why pass up the opportunity?
We're going to, you know what? I think we may, I think maybe by the end of the month, I might have actually a schedule where we're going to be.
Okay.
That's cool. Hey, Mike.
You keep giving me that look. We're going to play the MCI Center.
You're
giving me that look, and I'm just
sorry.
Getting madder and madder right now because this is important to me.
You know it is.
This is important to me.
No, this is what we went through the last time, and
I know.
Sorry, I'll stop.
I have no idea where we're going or if anybody's going to have us at
with
all.
With your disc jockey band.
With my DJ band crap.
Okay. Well, it went well.
It did.
This guy liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Wendell liked it.
Right.
I'm out. I mean, I don't want to say anything that's going to piss you off. So
okay.
I'll end right there.
Then let's end it here.
People like it.
Right there.
That's a good idea.
Can't wait to see the band again.
Well, you'll be seeing us soon, sir.
Cool.
Playing at a place near you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, man. Hey, Wendell.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Thank
it's all
you,
about
man.
The fan, man. It's all about the music.
Bombing again.
Guys. Frankly, after on the patio when we were drinking, that's probably what it looked like.
Yeah. That's what I would have liked to have seen. You guys with the high of coming off and going,
oh, there were like hugs and everything. We were thrilled. We were excited. Because we didn't think, you don't know whether you're going to be able to do it. I mean, I'm not talking about sounding good. I'm talking about making it through without effing up. That's all. That was our one goal. To Mike, get all the words right.
Mike was so jittery beforehand. We're out front before we start, 9:30. And I mean, 9:30, we were on. And he's saying to me, okay, now, what are you going to give me if there's feedback? I want to bet. What do you bet me?
I bet him that there wouldn't be, if there was any feedback, I thought we could do a bet.
What are you going to give me if there's feedback? I said, how you fix for dirty looks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, he was
nervous.
I was nervous that it was all going to, I just didn't want to have any glaring mistakes and sound mistakes or anything like that. I was very, I'm still nervous about it. I'm nervous talking about it. I really am.
Don't be nervous.
You just go
to Stonehenge.
Go ahead. Say whatever you want.
Spinal tap.
Give me your best shot. Go ahead.
I'm giving it to you right now.
Okay, all right.
Spinal tap.
I can handle it. I can handle that.
That's goofy. I mean, you know, I know you're doing it for fun, but there's a part of you that's taking it seriously.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Taking it seriously with a very, very important reminder that there is a limit to what we are capable of doing, and we are not
beyond
that.
What's the limit? What's the ceiling? What's the biggest room right now that you could see crap playing?
Right now? Like a bar, some local bar.
Okay, let's say 6 months from now.
6 months, a bigger local bar.
A year from now.
A year from now?
Yes.
The Prince's Trust concert in London, England.
All right.
All right. You mean that? Because that, of course, will be after we're writing our own music. and we bring in several of Clive Davis, you know, to hear the band.
Hello, Mike. This is Clive Davis.
Clive,
I just want to say.
Been waiting for your call.
I, as you know, I discovered Dionne Warwick,
I discovered
Whitney Houston,
mm-hmm.
and.
Well, let me do it on the phone. Wait a minute. He's better on the phone. Okay.
Clive Davis is supposed to be calling for me right now. With all the details on the recording contract.
It could happen.
Yeah, right. Let's see if Clive's there. Hello? Hello, is this Clive Davis?
Hello?
Hi, Clive. Hi, how you doing?
Michael Barrett, Clive Davis from Arista Records.
Clive, I've been expecting your call. You know, I've spoken to all the other record labels earlier today, but yours is the call I was waiting for.
Well, I want to tell you, there's a man who used to work in our promotion department named Jim Elliott.
Ah, yes. How is Jim Elliott in his $60,000 automobile?
Hey, didn't you know he got fired from Arista?
No, I didn't know that.
He did get fired from Arista.
Is that true?
That's not a joke. That's not a joke.
Clive, how dare you? I didn't know that. So how have you been?
I've been fine. Did you know I discovered Whitney? I
understand that.
I discovered Aretha.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've discovered crap.
Did you get the tape, Clive?
Did I get the tape? I talked to your engineer, a wonderful but foul-smelling man named Wendell Hall.
Wendell Hall. Clive, the question would be, what do I have to do personally to make this deal happen?
Blow me.
Clive, I'll be on the next shuttle up to New York.
Get on your knees.
Yeah.
And blow me.
Fantastic.
And there's a future for you at Arista Records. Now, Mike, listen, seriously.
Yes, Clive.
Seriously?
Sorry about that Jim Elliott news that I just received.
Seriously?
Yes, seriously.
Just eat me out.
Oh, God. Burr, Clive. Or how about a nice marinara sauce?
Most all days.
Thank you, Clive.
Mike, you're great. Your band is great.
Well, I knew you'd like the name, Clive.
Your room and your meal. Come.
Please, give my best to Jim Elliott.
I fired him.
Oh, that's right.
Didn't you hear that?
I did from you.
I fired him.
You're the first person, and I mean that, who told me that.
I fired him.
Really?
And Paige is devastated.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
I fired him.
So very sorry, Clive.
Once again, Mike O'Bara, this is Clive Davis, big-time record executive.
Thank you, Clive.
You're great. Your band is great.
Thanks so much, Clive. I appreciate the support, and I love your glasses.
And I love your
socks.
What are you wearing today?
I'm wearing socks with shoes with holes in the feet.
I love those.
Thanks so much. How can you see that all the way up in New York?
With my powerful, scary glasses.
Yes. Did you wear those scary glasses when you fired Jim Elliott?
I did it on the telephone.
Oh, you did. That's horrible.
I did.
It's very, very cowardly, Clive.
Well, you know why? I'll tell you. Because he was calling people and he was saying, oh, I'm independently wealthy from my stock options. My .com business. And my .com that.
He does say that, Clive. He says that a lot.
I know he does.
He does.
And now he's out on the street.
He is, and you made that happen.
Yes, I did, because I'm Clive Davis.
Will you be rehiring any other people that have worked for you in the past? I know there's a litany of individuals. Like, for example, Matt Farber. Will you be hiring him again?
Let me tell you something about Matt Farber.
Please do.
He rubbed my feet. Like no one ever rubbed my feet before.
Oh, that's wonderful news. Is he still at MTV or is he somewhere else now, Clive?
Matt Farber is very ill.
I have no idea.
He had some type of Taiwan flu.
Oh, I am so sorry. I didn't even know that.
He's very ill.
He must have gotten bitten.
Yes, he did.
That's terrible news.
He's bitten. But I'm feeling great, and I love this tape, this band, Cramp.
Well, we're looking forward to all coming up and blowing you and being on the...
And eating me.
And eating you. We're going to be there. If it'll make the vandal, we'll send Wendell up first.
He's dreaming.
Very good.
Now, he's the big engineer with
yes.
the sunglasses.
Yes, yes. He really loves to stay at different people's homes on the weekend.
Well, once again, this is Clive David from Air at the Record. I just fired Jim Elliott.
Very good, Clive.
As the director of national promotion, and I want to sign the band Crap.
Thank you very much, Clive. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Mike.
We'll be in your office.
Thank you.
Just like your assistant told us to, in our briefs.
You bet you will.
Take care, Clive.
Goodbye now.
Bye-bye.
I have to go. Steve Kingston is on the phone.
Oh, well, did he bring your cleaning? Your dry cleaning?
Yes, he brought my leopard pants, and look at the tag.
What's it say?
Harvey's Custom Cleaners.
Yes, it wasn't someone told not to mention that specific place years ago?
I think so. I think perhaps that a-hole you work with.
What's the name on the tag again?
Harvey's Custom Cleaners.
Well, do yourself a favor and say hi to Steve Kushner for me, please.
I will. Oh, that's Steve Kingston.
Yes, it is. Same person.
Yeah. Do you know he had a nose job?
No. Boy, Jim Elliott fired Steve with a nose job. I have not. Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's why it's all like pointy and stuff.
He blows me all the time to get records on K-Rock.
I had no idea.
He eats me also.
He does.
He blows me and eats me.
Syrup or jelly?
Both.
Wonderful.
And he's super. Oh, and listen, if you ever talk to Steve Kingston,
yes,
ask him about when he was the program director at WPGC.
Right.
And he used to repo cars.
Oh, that's me. He'd repossess automobiles.
Yes, he would put on this little black stealth outfit and put on this little black Billy Idol hat. I'm not kidding about this.
That's incredible stuff.
And he would actually go out and steal cars in the middle of the night when he was a major market program director.
While he was programming a radio station,
yes.
He would be a repo man at night.
That's right. He doesn't like anyone to know that.
Oh, man. Well, you know, once people know that, you'd have to be a pretty big loser to do that for a living at night while you're a program director. I mean, either one of those jobs is fine on its own, but while you're a program director, repoing cars at night, does he have an L on his forehead?
He does.
Steve Kushner.
He does. Steve Kingston.
Oh, Steve Kingston. That's
Steve
right.
Kingston.
Right.
Well, listen, Mike, it's been great talking to you. Let's do lunch.
Clive, we will. Very excited about our future with Arista.
With Arista.
Now, we won't edit this part out, will we, Clive?
Actually, I don't even think Clive Davis is with Arista anymore. I think he started his own... I mean, I think I've started my own new label.
What's the name of the label, Clive, that you have started? I know it's a very exciting...
Keep me raw with a flavor straw.
There you go. We'll bring the straws, Clive.
Mike, you're a super talent. Let me just say this to you.
Yes.
We must talk.
We must talk. Thank you very much. Say hi to Kid Leo for me.
I will.
Very good.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Clive.
Goodbye. Eat my bun.
Eat his bun.
Queer babe.
See you later there. Yeah, we'll bring Pete Johnson to the next meeting.
Wow. Very powerful.
Yeah, there you go. There's a fantasy. There's a fantasy in the future.
There was little reality there. There was little fantasy there.
Lots going on. Multi-layered.
Sorry, you're kind of all over the road with that. Sorry about that. Some of that was for you people here. Some of that was for you people in New York.
Every now and then we do a show for ourselves.
Let's clear the lines. But seriously, congratulations on the success of your band, Crap.
Very good debut performance. We'll let you know.
And I would like to come out and see you guys with the do play somewhere.
I think before the end of the summer that'll happen.
All right, beautiful. Clear the lines now. We'll get 100th caller, 877-365-3636 for the secret sound. Good luck. For $500, we'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
What the hell kind of country is this where I can only hate a man if he's white?
7.5 inches long and about 3 inches in girth. The Don and Mike Show.
Right. We'll be in Portland, Maine on Friday.
Portland, hello there, Maine. That's right, we're looking forward to it. Venus, we're looking forward to getting up there.
Doing the show from WZAN, live Las Vegas-style show Friday night, and it's at...
It's going to be at the State Theater. It used to be a porno house.
That's it. Portland, Maine will be there on Friday night.
Right.
Week from Friday. Do a live remote from our station at Ocean City, Maryland, 96 Rock. And then on Friday the 18th, the Las Vegas-style show from the Rusty Rudder in Delaware.
That's a nice place?
Yeah.
You've been there?
Yes. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I am the caller 100.
Yes, you are. Hi, what's your name?
My name is Greg from Sacramento.
Greg, call 100. Listen, you've won a Vermont teddy bear. To send a bear gram for Mother's Day, call 1-800-829-BEAR or shop online at VermontTeddyBear.com.
Awesome.
I don't know if you get to hear these commercials on the network, but when Mike and I do commercials for Vermont Teddy Bear, we sell and sell sell.
A lot of disc jockeys will do commercials and really won't put their heart and soul into it, but we believe in the product and we sell accordingly.
You do a heck of a job.
There's two sponsors we love pitching for.
Right.
Vermont Teddy Bear and Monkey Grams.
We really care about those products.
Sure. You love your San Giorgio pasta, too.
Yeah, they're good, too, Rob.
They're good, but they're not as, you know, regular as Vermont.
The problem with San Giorgio pasta...
There's no problem.
Well, there is a problem. The problem is that they just send us a fact sheet.
Right.
What we like is when Vermont Teddy Bear sends us a copy for a commercial. I'm looking at it right now.
And they give instructions on how to read it.
Like what? Well, for instance, well, let me just tell you, first off... There's a good 90 seconds worth of copy that you're supposed to cram into 60 seconds.
Yeah, we can go fast.
And it says personalities. Take advantage of the copy and ad-lib the spot.
But we looked at the copy and we said to ourselves, why improve on something that is essentially already perfect?
Be fun and creative, incorporate your own style.
We really thought that the copy was fun and creative.
It was. Just have fun with it.
And we do. God, we do. We sure do, Rob.
It is a lot of fun.
Sure do.
You think you're having fun. How about me? I get to listen to you guys.
That's right.
That is fun.
Every time of the 18 or 19 times a day that we read these commercials,
It's always exciting and it's always fresh.
Always fresh. Vermont Teddy Bear. It's always like the first time.
I applaud you.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you. Please, guys, that's enough.
That's not applause, Mike.
That's right. Let's play for $500. Are you ready?
I sure am.
Okay. You know, there's all kinds of hidden messages in the last half hour of the show today.
I know. We've got all sorts of little agendas going on, don't we?
Take your decoder ring.
We have issues.
Sorry, Jim.
We'll play now for $500, a common everyday sound. Rob, come on, really. Need a hint.
Okay, let me think for a
second. Need a hint.
That's hard for him because he doesn't want to slip up and let us know.
I promised a hint last time. Write down a hint. What do you think a good hint is?
Here we go. I'm listening with all of you because I don't know what the secret sound is.
Any hint is appreciated.
I know, sir. Sure. I'm with you on that one.
Oh, this first hint's not good enough.
Good. Rob's tough. Don is somewhat of a generous sort when it comes to hints.
He is. I like that.
Not Rob. No, Rob is the devil on his shoulder when it comes to this game.
Just give me a moment.
5-year listener.
You're a 5-year listener?
Oh,
that's affirmative.
Please.
Is it another weak hint?
The hint that he wrote has nothing to do with the sound.
It happens on the planet Earth.
all right, here's the hint I'm going to give you.
Okay.
Think automobile.
All right.
Okay, is that better than you?
No, it's not all right, Rob. You might say it's all right, but I know you don't believe it's all right.
It's not all right at all.
Here's the clue that Rob had written. Oh. Can you read that?
Yeah.
Think hardware.
Right.
Well, no, I'm sorry. Think automobile.
So in a way, we've gotten two hints, and that was no accident. Thank you, Don.
I have, for $500, name this common everyday sound. Please don't answer until Mike sings like...
Loretta Lynn.
Caller, name this sound.
And you ask how I can mock the band crap when I ask you to sing stuff on the show. I thought that was Donna Fargo, and this time it's Loretta freaking Lynn.
Thank you.
Well, I was born a coal miner's daughter.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
If we do give away the money, it's courtesy of Main Street Title. All right, there are two gigantic, ginormous clues for you. For $500, what is that sound?
Well, my first clue, I guess you'd make fun of, so I'm going to say when you turn the air conditioning from low to high in one swift move.
No, not
not
even close.
Not even close.
Thank you, though, and don't forget that every guest is
a clue for you.
A clue for you. Thank you for listening, my friend.
Thank you, Don.
On KHTK in Sacramento. It's time now for the news and the comments show.
Yes, it is.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
Verboten.
One man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz me.
He made it up.
Now, your lead has to be that we have already solved the Robert Blake murder mystery. We did that earlier in the show.
today.
As a matter of fact, the latest on the newest Hollywood murder mystery.
Do you have new facts since we talked last?
I believe I do.
He does. That means he really does.
Okay, stay tuned.
Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show, that's very professional.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln, the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Radio Zeus's with the Juices. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, before we go to Buzzy with the news, Bob.
Yes.
Always these last-minute phone calls.
Sure.
Now, first, I love this guy calling in. Here's my trainer, Rob. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Don. How are you?
Hi, I'm great.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to call. I want Rob, Buzz, and Mike all put their hands together today for a congratulations to Don for accomplishing seven jump ropes, seven in a row.
Hey!
Seven, yes.
Good job.
This is a step up from five, what, a month and a half ago, 2 months ago?
Congratulations.
F you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's fabulous, considering, you know, all the gallstones and all that stuff.
F you. That's all I want to say is F you.
It's nice to know that your relationship has not changed since the last time we spoke with young Rob here.
You know, what he doesn't tell you is when I get to the gym to work out, and he says, okay, first you're going to do five. You're going to do two five times.
Right.
So you go one, two, stop. One, two, stop. One, two. Then he says, now you can do three five times. So you do one, two, three, stop. One,
gradual
two,
progression. That's how we make stop. Accomplishments, and that's how you got to seven.
Then you get up to four, and you're doing it five times. But the time you get up to seven, you've done 100 goddamn jump ropes already.
Hey, you're pretty quick.
Hey, Rob, have you gone caving lately?
In fact, I went caving this morning. I found some bearded clams.
he's going caving on Memorial Day. Today when we were working out, I said to him, I wasn't busting his balls. I just said, really?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you possibly do that? Why would you do that?
Just because it's there.
You ever discover anything really neat in a cave?
Well, I found out that you shouldn't eat Metrix protein bars because, you know, that causes a lot of gastric distress. And the guys behind you really don't have a lot of places to go when it happens. So that's one interesting thing about caving.
And also he's, he's got his own thoughts about the various products that...
I was looking for a legitimate answer about that.
Answer? I don't know. It's one of those things you just have to experience to appreciate.
Thanks.
I'm sure you can tell our time that we spend together at the gym
it's quality time.
You know,
it is quality.
You do develop a relationship.
Yeah.
I can't talk. I haven't seen my guy for a while.
How long have you been spelunking?
Yeah. Actually, I just started about a year ago, 2 years ago. Yeah, a year and a half now.
Very nice.
All right. Get out of here. And stop busting my balls. I'm proud. You know, this is a problem. I do something today in my workout that I'm proud of.
Yes.
That I actually... A month and a half ago, 2 months, I couldn't jump rope one time.
Right.
Today, I'm able to do it seven times in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
So he has to call to bust my balls.
Well, I'm calling to congratulate you.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for the congratulations.
You bust everybody's balls all the time. It's about time someone busted yours.
Oh, my God.
Wow. So you talk to him in private.
Yeah, I do.
All right,
Rob. Goodbye.
All right, I'll see you on what we talked about.
Right. See you then.
All right.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Rob. Me too, Rob.
That's my trainer.
Good luck with him.
Yeah.
Well,
he's a handful.
That's why I like him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
He's a jerk.
What you're supposed to do.
He's a big freaking jerk.
Right.
Buzz also on the line.
Yes.
Hold on. Let me see who this is. Hello, Don and Mike.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Radio Guy.
Yeah, hi there.
How you doing?
Hi.
I know you probably called this. I'm calling from New York. I know you probably called this earlier in the show. But last night in The Sopranos, when Tony Soprano walks in to meet the Russian, and they do the shot.
Grey Goose vodka.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
We noticed the bottle.
Hey, that's good. We caught it.
That's good. Yeah. Good eyes.
Thanks for checking in.
No problem.
Okay.
Bye.
See you later.
Man, I like that. I like those calls from New York.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, I was just watching CNN, and they did a Robert Blake story followed by an O.J. story.
There you go. Now, has O.J. done something new?
No, that's the thing. The story about O.J. wasn't even pertinent. It was like O.J. still proclaims his innocence, and that was it. Like, it wasn't anything that he...
Hey, good.
Bingo.
Let it begin. Let it start. I told you, Robert Blake is the white O.J. Thank you, my friend.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, now let's go over to Buzz for the latest on Robert Blake.
It will be interesting. Let me bring everybody else up to speed who's not already.
Oh, they know, Buzz.
Police and a private detective say they're looking for the man who killed the wife of actor Robert Blake. She died Friday night after she and Blake had dinner at a Los Angeles restaurant. The actor, who's not officially a suspect at this point, is best known for his role as a private eye named Beretta on a TV show from the 1970s. Blake's theory is his wife was killed by a longtime stalker. But police say they're not entirely satisfied with Robert Blake's story. Blake says he left his wife waiting in the car while he went back into the restaurant to get the gun he had left on a chair. He said the gun was uncomfortable in his waistband. That's why he'd taken it out and set it on a chair. When he returned to the car, he says he discovered his wife had been shot in the head.
Wow.
Blake checked himself into a hospital for treatment over the weekend.
Unbelievable.
High blood pressure after the murder. His attorney said she had many enemies and that it could be anybody. The autopsy was completed today, and we were expecting the results of that autopsy to be released and to be made public.
Yes.
But the coroner says the results of today's autopsy have been sealed, and here is the coroner now.
Okay.
Smell my hog, queer bait.
That doesn't sound like it. Well, it's a dirty job, the coroner said.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Buzz.
Let's see what he has to say.
Los Angeles County Coroner.
All right, got it.
Here we go.
Here we go.
See you in Toledo, you stupid whore.
Oh, hey, there's no need for that language.
No, really. Enough with the Pete Johnson types. Come on. Buzz takes it any seriously. Right. This is the L.A. coroner.
Coroner saying that the results of the autopsy have
been
sealed. That looks like it from here. Yeah, I think so.
Here it is.
Please join me on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Well,
may be an array of international stars and celebrities. From all over. From the world.
All right, here he is. Here's the coroner.
Yeah, the coroner.
Oops. Hold up. I really effed up that
time. Please, good.
We received a request from the Los Angeles Police Department Robbery Homicide Division asking that the case file be placed on security hold.
The police say that they believe that releasing the autopsy results now would interfere with their investigation.
Well, listen, he did it.
I think I solved this case earlier in the show today.
That can't
be a good development for Mr. Blake.
No, I don't think so. And as I mentioned earlier, the clothing that he wore the night of the murder is at the police lab, and it's been or is being examined for things like gunpowder residue and that sort of thing.
And don't forget, if he ends up killing his wife,
mm-hmm.
Buzz and I will split the reward.
That's right.
If he was simply involved as an accomplice or set it up,
right.
Mike and Rob will split the reward.
Yeah, it'll be a windfall for somebody on this show. And we have both agreed, both couples, both you and Buzz and myself and Rob, in the event that either one of us wins the reward, mm-hmm. we will give nothing to the other couple.
That's right.
But I will buy you a Harley.
Thank you, Colby.
And Rob, I will pay off your mortgage.
Jesus. Gasoline prices in three parts. First, what's happened, what's going to happen, and then what's not going to happen.
First, conspiracy theory.
What's happened?
Conspiracy
theory.
You have
a conspiracy
theory? Yeah. The president and the vice president. What industries did they come from?
Oil.
Big oil. Big money oil. The oil company.
B.O.
Making money off of this.
B.M.O.
Really no surprise that this is a conspiracy, that they're in power and the oil companies are charging $3 a gallon for gasoline.
And you couple that with the idiots that all, right after they went and saw Mummy 2, they all went out and bought gasoline because it's expensive. Everyone buy it.
Yeah.
Go buy gasoline and watch the National Network.
I still like that Mummy.
Yeah, it's a great movie. Buy gas!
His head gets all eaten by spiders.
Buy gas!
And then they all watched The Sopranos and said how great it was.
It was good. I like it with Polly Walters.
Well, wait till this. If you like the conspiracy theory, wait till we get to the end of this.
Oh, good.
First, what's happened? Gas prices shot up another 9 cents a gallon in the national average over the past 2 weeks. Discounting inflation, that's brought the prices to an all-time high. Prices are especially up in the West and Midwest. What's going to happen? Gas at, as you mentioned, $3 a gallon. Shell and Chevron dealers in California and Chicago say they've been told to get ready to put up the signs.
Right, worth it.
And what's not going to happen? The government could issue waivers that would let refineries skip some of the anti-pollution process. That would bring down prices. There are other things they could do. But today, the Bush administration said it will take no such action. It says that if politicians jump in with
Bush
quick fixes every time the price of gasoline went up,
nobody'd make any money for the oil company.
The problem would never get solved.
Right.
Gasoline!
Buzz?
Yes.
There you go, there's some gas.
It's free.
For you.
Hold on, we got a break.
You bet.
We will be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio. The Don and Mike Show.
Why did he deserve to die, Mr. Guest?
Because he was acting like a total ass.
And in your view, people that you perceive to be ass should be killed?
Well, in many cases, it might make the world a better place.
They like to kiss Fuzzy, Don and Mike.
Where in the world is Buzz Burbank?
I'm here.
Right next door. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. You don't need me to tell you that traffic congestion has gotten worse all over America, but a new report says the average American spends 36 hours a year just sitting in traffic.
Right, right.
2 years ago, it was 34 hours. 20 years ago, it was 11.
That's good for our ratings, though.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Love that.
Hi, everybody stuck in traffic right now. Sorry.
They say that these days, all that sitting is costing the economy $78 billion a year in wasted time and gasoline. Well, not wasted if you're listening to us, but...
Don, it's too maniacal to say that I wish I had this show to listen to whenever I was sitting in traffic.
Yes, it is, Mike. Thank you.
But it's true.
It is.
It's true.
It is.
Los Angeles still has the worst congestion. There, the average is 56 hours a year, if you can imagine. The list is Los Angeles in first place, San Francisco, Oakland in second place, Seattle in third place, ahead of Washington, D.C. in fourth place. Chicago came in fifth for having the most congestion.
D.C. used to be second. We must not be trying hard enough.
I can't believe that. It seems like it's worse than it's ever been.
They say that some of the cities that beat us on the list don't have the mass transit that we have here. And, you know, like we have really good mass transit.
But the metro system?
Yeah, we do. And if you live, you know, in the right areas. And also they say that we have more alternatives here. There are more alternative routes that you can take in Washington than there are in some of the other cities that beat us on the list.
I think metro is very convenient here. What, is it not convenient for you where you live?
Yeah, if you live beyond the end of the line, then you still have to drive in on the same traffic routes and hopefully find a place to park and then get on and ride in from there.
And if you live beyond the end of the line,
yeah,
you take a covered wagon.
That's right. A new survey says most Germans are sick of being reminded of their country's Nazi past.
Too bad. Too bad, Nazis. As long as we're alive, they're going to keep getting reminded.
Right.
Right on.
The survey says they favor looking forward and having more national pride.
Yeah, right, Colonel Clay.
Right.
They want more national pride. The survey says 60% of Germans don't feel guilty or responsible for the Holocaust.
Don, baby, how's it going?
But a majority does favor compensation payments to Nazi-era slave laborers.
Don, you are on the air, sir.
The survey shows that 80% of them think only a small minority of Germans these days are anti-Semitic.
Roaring by the entire field was Mercedes-Benz, which took first place with BMW.
45% of the Germans surveyed said they were fed up with hearing about the Third Reich, but 85% of them admitted that talking about it was necessary in order to learn from the past. Nearly half said Nazism had its good sides.
Yeah.
And nearly a third.
There they are. You see, they want us to forget, and then they say something like that.
Nearly a third said Hitler would have been a great statesman if it weren't for that Holocaust thing.
That's like Mark Schott.
It is.
Listen, we are so tired of being associated with the Nazis. However, they were very efficient.
We think it's false, Einem Hagerberg. Thing that he did, but he would have been a good statesman.
You Nazis! Yes, he killed 6 million people. That was awful. But did you ever hear him speak in front of a group of people?
He was spellbinding.
I almost became a chimp there.
Yes.
Spellbinding, Link.
Link. Link.
Yeah, F the Germans.
Yeah, that's the thing. They want us to forget, mm-hmm. not to be reminded. They want to move forward, and then they make some kind of stupid comment like he would have been a good statesman, and he wasn't all bad. Like, you know, I mean, come on.
What did I say, 50% of Germans think that?
46% said that Nazism, in addition to having its bad sides, had its good sides.
Okay, what was good about Nazism?
I guess the railroads ran on
Rob?
Time.
Rob?
school uniforms.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, there
you
go. We got to do this.
Okay.
I don't know. You like the brown ones, right?
I like them all. I hate to have to choose.
Oh, dear.
What's your favorite color?
I like the winter ones.
What were the winter ones?
You know, the long coats, leather, pointed hat.
Oh, I got to think back to Hogan's Heroes. You mean the gray ones?
Yeah.
The gray ones.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice
start.
Oh, God.
We will be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio. The Don and Mike Show. Chili Parlors. It's time for Don and Mike.
Hey, Thursday on the show, we're giving away a $5,000 prize. Laser eye surgery, LASIK surgery for Winton Laser Eye Associates, 800-626-LASER. And we're going to have a talent show.
Yay.
We'll start booking the acts for the talent show on tomorrow's episode now. Here's Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, the Magic Kingdom turned on its subjects again over the weekend. Over the weekend at Disneyland, a tree fell and injured 29 people.
And 29.
I think that was 29.
29. 18 were taken to the hospital.
18.
Nine. None of the injuries were serious, but the agent...
Smell my hog, queer bait.
Ride operator. None of the injuries were serious, but the ages of the victims ranged from 2 to 74. Officials say that... the tree may have been...
Two?
Yes.
Two. Two to 74? Yeah, it's quite a talent. Thank you, Buzz. I'm here all week.
Local rescue officials say the fall of the tree was partially broken by a mobile food cart. Otherwise, it could have been worse.
Stupid tree.
After the accident, Disney officials said they would be checking the sturdiness of the other trees in the park. And John Wayne Bobbitt wants the knife back. The knife is the 12-inch red-handled kitchen knife his ex-wife used to cut off his penis in 1993.
Hey, man, May is talking. Penis Jack.
Now, for the last 7 years, that knife has been stored as evidence in the courthouse of Prince William County, Virginia.
Yeah!
Now, Bobbitt wants to sell it as a collector's item. His 15 minutes of fame netted only 15 minutes of fortune, and he needs the money. Bobbitt tells the Washington Post the knife is, and I quote, a huge part of American history.
Oh, God.
His ex-wife, Lorena, was found innocent by reason of insanity after claiming she'd suffered years of abuse. Bobbitt says he hasn't spoken to her in years, but wants to apologize for hurting her emotions.
Right. Isn't that nice of him? How's his porno career?
There you go.
Kicking ass. Taking names. 877-365-3636. That's a toll-free line. Thank you, Buzz, for those in the comments. We got to get a call 100 right now. Good luck.
Number one, Arbitron Radio. The Don and Mike Show.
Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining.
Their brains are 100% leak-proof.
Aye.
Guaranteed. Don and Mike.
And now here's Buzz.
In sports, the Dallas Mavericks visit the San Antonio Spurs in tonight's only NBA playoff game. Spurs lead the second round best-of-seven series, 1-0. Game 6 of the second round Stanley Cup playoffs between New Jersey and Toronto is tonight in Toronto. The Maple Leafs go in with a 3-2 series lead and a chance to eliminate the Devils. Houston Astros pitcher Jose Lima is being fined an undisclosed amount of money and the league suspending him for 5 games for hitting Jay Patton of the Mets with a pitch in a game last week. Finally, it's like Beano for dogs. British scientists say they've developed a pill to neutralize the smell of a gassy dog. Researchers at a pet nutrition center say they've made treats containing charcoal, zinc acetate...
Send them to my house.
...and yucca plant extract, in case you want to make your own. They say it works. They say the dogs still expel the same amount of gas, just without so much odor. Quoting the veterinarian's version of the AMA Journal, dog seems to enjoy the treats. Quoting the journal, flatulence in dogs is widely recognized as a social nuisance, humor, and an occasional cause
cause of abdominal discomfort for humans.
Sure.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
That's it, we gotta go. We will be back tomorrow with the all-new episode. We will see you then. And yes, tomorrow we're going to start trolling for the talent show on Thursday. Basic surgery for both of your eyes from Witten Laser Eye Associates, the masters of laser eye surgery. Call 1-800-626-LASER to arrange your free consultation. This prize valued at $5,000. We'll give it away on Thursday's episode. Friday, live in Portland, Maine, from the studios at WZAN, with live Las Vegas-style show on Friday night at the State Theater, Queer Bait. We'll be there starting at 8 o'clock. And a week from Friday, a live broadcast from 96 Rock in Ocean City, Maryland, and then a Las Vegas-style show at the Rusty Rudder.
All right!
Now, call one. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Yeah. Donna Mike.
Yeah.
I'm caller 100.
Yeah. Hi, yeah. What's your name?
Sean.
Sean, where are you from?
North Virginia.
Sean, you won the 7-Eleven car care kit, a commemorative 52-ounce NASCAR Extreme Gulp mug, a $20 7-Eleven value, plus you won a prepaid phone card and much more. Phone card and much more. We do love 7-Eleven. Oh, thank heaven for 7-Eleven. Thank you for listening, my friend.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode. Oh, yes, and tomorrow also, I think... Mankind calling in.
He's a bad boy.
And tomorrow we'll call the phone whores and get all this Pete Johnson stuff out of our system once and for all.
That's a good idea.
Go fist yourself, pimple ass.
And if you want to see a picture of Pete,
and believe me, you do,
go to WNEW.com. WNEW.com and click on the Don and Mike icon. They don't have a picture of us there, but they do have a picture of Peter Johnson.
Our spokesmodel. Yeah.
That's it. We got to go. See you tomorrow with a new episode. Thank you. Good night, Buzz.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Robbie.
Hi, Don.
Hi. Throw that Santa Claus hat in the air, please, just like Sydney. Hi, Little Moore.
Play the drums.
We will see you tomorrow.
So long.
Bye-bye.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.